Wake up and retrace your steps, the Jackson Movement, Part 4. The following message was originally preached by Brother Amos on the morning of Sunday, the 29th of September 2019, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria, and is the fourth segment coming out of Part 3, which was split into two, rewritten by Brother Amos in January 2021. It is a tedious, yet an incredibly glorious journey of faith, showing the bride that she should continue to strive to serve God, no matter the circumstances, and no matter the odds. May God bless each and every one of you. Brothers and sisters, we will simply continue our message, titled, Wake Up and Retrace Your Steps, the Jackson Movement. May I just remind you, in case you have forgotten, that the fundamental issue we are now setting forth, and the keystone, the principal stone of truth that the entire Jackson Movement faced in January 2005, with the passing away in December 2004, of Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, who was our apostolic Joseph, the man who was Elijah's successor standard bearer, and who bore the ever-fresh divine revelation of Jesus Christ for about four decades, was the stone of apostolic leadership. For the crucial question then was, and still is, just how does God Almighty, whose ways do not change, move the universal bride of Christ forward in the light, thereby ensuring an unfailing supply of ever-fresh manna, so that the royal bride, the true equals, can have continuity of divine scriptural revelation? Do not forget that the true bride, the equals of God, the word bride, do not feed on stale meal, and neither do they eat carrion, dead meat, but only fresh carcass. In his message dated March 1958, and titled, Hear Ye Him, paragraphs 34 to 35, Brother Branham stated, where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. It's eagle food. Eagles love eagle food. Sheep love sheep food. And scavengers love scavengers' food. Buzzards eat buzzards' food. And if you love the things of the world, that shows the love of God is not even in you. And the biggest hypocrite there is in the world is a crow. A dove and a crow, they sat on the same pole, perhaps, in the ark. Now, the dove can only eat one kind of food, because a dove is one bird who does not have a gall. It can't digest rotten things. But an old crow can sit on an old dead carcass and eat for 2 hours, and fly right out in the field and eat wheat with the dove. But a dove can't eat wheat and then eat the carcass. See the hypocrite. And in his message delivered about a week earlier, titled, As the Eagle Stares Her Nest in Fluttereth Over Her Young, paragraph 56, the prophet declared, God wants his church to be experienced with trusting him and taking his word. They're eagles. If they are eagles, they'll eat eagle food. Now, an eagle cannot eat a chicken's food, but a chicken can eat eagle's food. You see the hypocrite. That's right. An eagle can't eat what a chicken eats, but a chicken can eat what the eagle eats, and eats what he eats too. Like the crow and the dove in the ark, the crow can eat anything, but the dove can only eat green. But the crow can eat green, and eat off of a dead carcass too. That's the old hypocrite. Brothers and sisters, as we have sufficiently and irrefutably proven from the Holy Scriptures, the death of Brother Jackson, the Apostle Paul of this end time, brought us to the successive apostolic lead ministry of John, whom Jesus Christ gave us in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11, all according to the mind of God his Father and our Father. Apostle John being the man whom God gave to eat the entire scroll of redemption. For in this third and final junction of time, for the elect bride of Christ, in this seventh and final age, what we must consistently emphasize is, no divine blueprint holder, the carrier of the entire scroll of redemption, no continuous fresh manna, no fresh carcass of the word. This was and is the very stone of offense, the stone of stumbling that the Jackson Movement, in January 2005, all stumbled upon and fell, completely derailing from the pathway of life. The book of prophet Isaiah records in chapter 28, verse 16, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Jesus Christ in his divine scriptural revelation, which the original apostles bore and still bear, on the full and unquestionable authority of Ephesians 2 verse 20. Consequently, he that believeth shall not make haste. When Brother Jackson passed away on Saturday, December the 4th, 2004, the men who sat with him on his platform, specifically James Allen and Bob Thompson, as well as all the men who claim to have followed the chief apostle in his continuity light, ought to have patiently considered the apostolic leadership stone, which Brother Jackson laid out clearly and openly before the universal body, then simply watch for fruits, and not run ahead blindly, defiantly, and presumptuously, to establish their own agendas, or because of their carnal ambition and chronic unbelief. They should have stood for the way forward that the chief apostle laid out before their very eyes. Which is the very reason we are taking this message today, a direct address to the Jackson movement, a warning for whoever has an ear to hear, titled, Wake Up and Retrace Your Steps, the Jackson Movement. Unfortunately, inordinate, unreasonable, ambition, the green-eyed monster of envy and jealousy, raw racial prejudice, racial bigotry, and carnal ego, which are all attributes of unbelief, made men trample blatantly upon the stone of offense, the stone of truth we all face in that day, and still face, which is true apostolic leadership, and they did grievous injury to their own souls. And if throughout his ministry, Brother Branham could consistently tell the world what the angel of the Lord had spoken concerning his Elijah ministry, when he had the supernatural experience on the Ohio River in 1933, that, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you'll have a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ, so can also testify of my lead apostolic ministry. And further, if Apostle Paul could also consistently talk about his foreknowledge and election of God, saying in Galatians 1 verses 15 to 17, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. If St. Paul could openly testify of the ministry commission he received from the Spirit of Christ, as the apostle of the Gentiles, plainly declaring, I magnify mine office, giving us his precise office within the apostolic fold of ministry, as a wise master builder, the foundation layer, and the pure seed bearer, declaring, I have planted, Apollos watered, so can I equally testify of the grace of God conferred upon a most wretched me, the chiefest of sinners, for we are not here playing a game of hide and seek. I most certainly can also testify of God's grace and mercy towards an unworthy me, for I am nothing. Brothers and sisters, before the Lord called Raymond Jackson home, he pointed forward to all the true equals of God, the only ones who mind the revealed word of life, for as elect seeds of God, they are the only ones who can follow Jesus Christ in his continuous light of the Holy Bible, feasting exclusively on ever-fresh manna, the fresh carcass of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, before I give this testimony, I will first say this to the Jackson movement. Just as the Branham movement used the quotes of Brother Branham to firmly and vehemently deny the place of Brother Jackson, and the place of any other lead ministry, so do you also use the quotes of Brother Jackson to deny the place of John. Church, we have a sure and incontestable promise in the Holy Bible of the returned apostolic ministry of John, a lead ministry. Consequently, it does not matter what quotes of the chief apostle that Jackson movement are using to deny the present ministry of John, it is most certain that the Holy Scriptures cannot be overturned. I find it very interesting and most incredible that the Jackson movement would be the ones to seek to use a quote of Brother Jackson to pluralize the ministry of the end-time John, when we all know that Revelation 10 verse 11 gives us nothing but a repeat ministry. For as it is written, thou, John, must prophesy again. Brothers and sisters, again is a word that simply means a repeat, a second time, and it is a word that really needs no explanation. I find it incredible that people who profess to believe the Holy Scriptures will be arguing on this plain and straightforward prophetic verse of Scripture, and be willfully explaining it away. However, since it is written, thou must prophesy again, the material question is, how many people will prophesy the first time, for them to repeat it the second time? That is the central issue. for the commission in Revelation 10, verse 11 to have a plural application to more than one man at the same time. As the movement erroneously believes, then the first fulfillment of it must be equally plural. For the law spoke in the same context by his Spirit exclusively to Apostle John. Come on! However, if plural men did not prophesy the first time, in the first age of Christendom, and we all know that plural men did not bear the prophecy laid out in the book of Revelation, then it is utterly impossible for plural men to give us a repeat of the ministry of Apostle John. It just does not make any sense, and we cannot be playing with the word of life. How many see the point? I do not care how many quotes of Brother Jackson or of Brother Branham you have for it. You just cannot use the quotes of a man, any man, to nullify the word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And the very fact that Brother Jackson spoke in duality over this passage of prophetic scripture confirms the truth that he did not have the revelation of it, and he was not supposed to have it. Period. The divine unveiling of Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, was to come by the owner of the prophetic vessel of scripture, the owner of that promised ministry. Just as it took William Branham to open our eyes to the promised ministry of Elijah recorded in Malachi 4 verse 6b. And what is more, when we come to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, which is still a continuation of the commission of Apostle John, what are you going to do with the plumb line, the standard, in the hand of John? Come on! Are you also going to share it with plural men, or will the plumb line be shared with the bride? Since Brother Branham applied Revelation 10, verse 11 to the bride, I ask this question because the verse clearly provides, and there was given me, John, one man, not men, but John, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, to John in the Spirit in 96 AD, rise, and measure the temple of God, which did not exist in 96 AD, and which still does not exist as we speak today. For it is yet to be built, and that gives us the third temple, the millennial temple, a scriptural fact which proves that John was standing right here at this end time, in the spirit realm, measuring the temple, and the altar, and them that worship therein. This is a great prophetic projection, and it gives us nothing but the Jewish connection, the reopening of the door of salvation back to the Jews, the Lord restoring true worship to the nation of Israel, in the prophetic symbolism. Otherwise, I will ask you, just how is John to measure them that worship therein? Is it their size, or their shape, or their height that he is to measure? Come on! You have to see its prophetic symbolism. Remember, he is to measure the temple, as well as the altar, precise physical measurements which Ezekiel chapters 40-43 already gives us, back in his day. The exact measurements of the temple and the altar had already been given centuries before Jesus Christ came in his first advent. Therefore, what this prophetic verse gives us is nothing but the restoration of true life-giving worship to Israel, which is the Jewish connection in deep prophetic representation. Full stop. Here, the standard of truth is being restored to the nation of Israel, having passed to us Gentiles, with the passing away of Apostle John in the first age of Christendom, who bore the standard of truth after Apostle Paul died. Therefore, we must ask, if the repeat ministry of John has an end-time application to plural men, or to the universal bride, then who holds the plumb line? Who holds the standard? Do they also share it? I have to ask, because you must see just how ridiculous the Jackson movement have become, willfully denying the Holy Scriptures, using a quote to overturn God's sending plan of Gentile redemption, all out of willful unbelief. That is the main reason they have gone down the road, on a strange tangent, regardless of whatever kind of personal reasons they may also have. Brothers and sisters, just as the Branham movement deny and reject the establishment of the office of the Apostle Paul in this last age, following the death of Elijah, so do the Jackson movement also deny and reject the establishment of the office of the lead Apostle, John, following the death of the chief apostle Paul, for they are all ruled by the same spirit of error, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is why the Jackson movement all talk about a fivefold ministry that has been on ground since 2005, following the death of our Paul, just as the Branham movement also talk about a fivefold ministry that has been on ground since 1966, following the death of our Elijah, a fivefold ministry that has absolutely not one morsel of fresh manna for the light, and absolutely no revelatory unity, and it is contrary to the Word of God. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 14, Isaiah 50 to verse 8, and Ephesians 5 verses 26 to 27. I say this because in their so-called fivefold ministry, they do not have two ministers in any part of this globe who see eye to eye on all truths, or reveal faith, knowing the truth is truth, major or minor, God's truth being inviolate. They have a fivefold ministry without apostolic leadership, a fivefold ministry where apostles are invisible because they are unidentifiable. They have a fivefold ministry where all you see in the main are only pastors and evangelists who align with themselves today, only to break up tomorrow, for their alignment never lasts. Do not even ask what revelations the perceived or assumed apostles carry, for that is a different kettle of fish. They have a fivefold ministry without any focus or direction. They have a fivefold ministry where every man does his own thing and peddles his own thing, for every man is an interpreter of the message, an authority on the message, being a lord unto himself. They have a fivefold ministry where they only associate for personal mutual benefits. You scratch my back and I scratch yours. A fivefold ministry of absolute barbell, total confusion. What an utterly deluded people. Saints of God, you can all see the contrary to the Holy Scriptures, the divine and infallible provisions of Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 14, Isaiah 50 to verse 8, and Ephesians 5 verses 26 to 27. The Branham movement erroneously believed that the fivefold ministry had been on ground since 1966, following the death of Elijah. And on the other hand, the Jackson movement also believed that the fivefold ministry had been on ground only since 2005, following the death of the chief apostle. So, we have to ask, who is right? And whose fivefold ministry is true? We have to ask, because they totally disagree as to when the fivefold ministry which they claim has been established was established, apart from the crucial fact that they also disagree on what message the fivefold ministry is founded upon, because the Branham movement most certainly do not believe the continuity message of the chief apostle. Come on! And since we are on this issue, let me now ask the entire Branham movement, taken in the Jackson movement, if the pure and original fivefold ministry are already on ground, whether since 1966 or since 2005, in total disregard for the divine due order of their establishment, and contrary to the United Revelation Constitution in harmonious working of all the folds of the Ephesian ministry, then, on what grounds do you challenge and refute the stand of the Pentecostal organization, who also claim to have had the fivefold ministry, ever before the end time Elijah was born? On what basis of the Holy Bible do the entire Branham movement, which includes the Jackson movement, the Moroneus, the denominational organizational claim that they also have the fivefold ministry, and that they have had it from since the first church age? Some church organizations also believe that we have had the fivefold ministry since the Protestant Reformation. Therefore, I ask, in the entire Christendom, who is right? Because everyone claims to have the fivefold ministry, and yet, the date of their establishment, and the message which forms the basis of their establishment, are totally different from one another. So, who is right? And just how do we determine who is right, without having full recourse to the infallible and immutable provisions of the Holy Bible? How do we know who is right, if we do not come back to the Word of God, the only foundation of truth, all truth? That is the reason we produced a message in a book, titled, How Far Are We Into the Fivefold Ministry? A message we have also laid out in the scribe, as an additional means for this truth to go out. This is apart from the scribe message we published, titled, The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, and yet another scribe message, titled, Where Are We? Or relating to this central subject of the Word of God, focusing on the Jackson movement. Because the chief apostle had taught a lot about the original Ephesian fivefold ministry through the years, over and over again, as though it was already here in reality, and not just in potentiality, so much so, that towards the last 3 years of his ministry, when he was inspired to now zero in on apostolic leadership, and particularly on the divine order of the establishment of the pure and original efficient ministry. He completely lost his followers as this truth passed over their heads. The Jackson movement heard absolutely nothing he said in this regard. I was there. I am a witness. Saints, the gospel truth is that we lost the pure and original class of efficient ministry that the early church had. Consequently, what Christendom has had as true men of God since, men slept. Matthew 13 verses 24 to 25. Sleeping men who were the original apostolic guardians of the true revealed faith of Jesus Christ, particularly coming out of the dark ages, and even to date, are essentially God-ordained and anointed preachers, true preachers of Christ, pastors and evangelists. It is as Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15 records. How then shall they call on him, the Lord, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. That is precisely what we have today in the main, even as we continue to speak, except that when we talk about the original PSC deficient fivefold ministry, we only have them here as a potential investment within the body of Christ, waiting for the time of their reproduction. For as we speak today, they are all in God's quarry, waiting till they are fully fashioned, and until the apostolic foundation is totally finished, fully completed. Then the Lord will anoint them, putting them together in silence for a harmonious, perfect, effective, and a most fantastic quick short walk. Romans 9 verse 28. We must not forget that we lost the pure and original class of the true efficient fivefold ministry in the first age of Christendom, and hence, here at this harvest time, it has an order, a due divine order, for its restoration, for its reproduction, an absolute truth which both the Branham movement and the Jackson movement just cannot accept and will not accept, being a pack of unbelievers. Yet, the absolute fact remains that you cannot use the quote of any man to produce what is not there. And that is precisely why they have what I call a strange fivefold ministry, one that is leading nowhere, because it is even functioning contrary to how the Holy Scriptures say the true fivefold ministry will function. They are walking contrary to precisely what they will do, which is basically this, walking in perfect revelatory unity, in order to accomplish unity of the faith and perfection, spiritual maturity among the universal body of Jesus Christ, which their so-called fivefold ministry is glaringly not doing. Instead, what do they have in the entire message movement? They have a so-called fivefold ministry that is not positively impacting the universal body of God's bright elects revelatorily, causing them to see eye to eye on all issues of truth, for truth is truth, God's truth being infallible and immutable, for truth is sovereign. And yet, the standard of truth is one, not two, but one. Do I need to tell you that without unity of the faith, you cannot talk about perfection, let alone have perfection? May I also ask, where is the revelatory fruit of the application of Proverbs 4 verse 18 in the so-called fivefold ministry? It simply does not exist. They have a so-called fivefold ministry that bears no continuous revelation, no further light of the Holy Scriptures, no fresh manna, no fresh carcass of the Word of Christ. Men are playing games with the message of life, playing games with the souls of innocent and non-discerning people, merely beating their gums together, speaking of things they have practically no clue about, for it is way beyond their understanding. May I warn whoever has ears to hear, we do not have an instantaneous or an automatic reproduction of the fivefold ministry, because, scripturally speaking, it has a due divine order for its reproduction. The pure and original seed efficient ministry started with the apostles, the apostolic fold of ministry, and its reproduction cannot be any other way. For neither Elijah's message, nor the chief apostle's continuity message, can give us an instantaneous or automatic original fivefold ministry. Forget it. I repeat for necessary emphasis, neither the message of Elijah, nor the continuity message of the chief apostle, can reproduce the pure and original efficient fivefold ministry, contrary to the divine format of the Holy Scriptures, because there is an unchangeable scriptural basis for their reproduction, for they have a foundation and a divine order. Full stop. You are at liberty to believe whatever you want to believe and whomsoever you want to believe, but know this, truth is what will have the last say, and the true bride is who will have the last laugh. Period. Brothers and sisters, as I stated earlier, just as the Branham movement firmly deny and reject the establishment of the office of the chief apostle, Paul, in this Laodicean age, following the demise of Brother Branham, so do the Jackson movement also firmly deny and reject the establishment of the office of the lead apostle, John, following the demise of Brother Jackson, and they have quotes of Brother Jackson that they used to overturn the word of God to their own heart. In the contender dated October 1995, and titled The Bride's Anointing, Part 3, speaking specifically about the prophetic commission of John recorded in Revelation 10, verse 11, Brother Jackson stated, in the continuation of the writing of the 10th chapter of Revelation, John was told to take the little book, which is the scroll of redemption, and eat it. For the purpose of this prophecy, John was taken by the Spirit all the way over in time to a day and hour, and I have to believe when that angelic being told him, thou must prophesy again before many people, tongues, and nations. It was speaking of something the saints of our day and hour are going to do. Brother Jackson erroneously pluralizing the return ministry of John. The chief apostle added, John is dead, and has been for almost 2,000 years. But that was definitely spoken for our day, and I believe the anointing that is moving around the earth now is definitely to lift the church up, to spiritualize and empower it, and to get it moving forward in such a spirit of unity, that as that hour approaches, there is going to be men in various areas of the earth that God is going to deal with supernaturally, either by visions or by prophetic utterances, and they will fulfill the commission given to John by the angel. This completely overturns the prophetic scriptural commission of John. Yet, Brother Jackson further added, saying, what I am saying now has no connection with the thunders. The thunders are for the entire bride church. It has to be related to something connected with the coming of Christ for his church. Now listen very carefully, for what Brother Jackson just gave on this prophetic passage of scripture was most certainly only an opinion, his personal opinion, and not a revelation of God, which was precisely why he now clearly stated, but this thing of prophesying before many people, nations, and such like, speaking specifically of Revelation 10, verse 11, to me, that is how God, through the church, will deal with certain individuals out here, because God is definitely going to leave a testimony with some people that are still here. That is the honest and sincere declaration, for he plainly admitted, saying, to me, that is how God, through the church, will deal with certain individuals out here. Brothers and sisters, apart from the absolute fact that we cannot turn his every statement into a revelation, as the Branham movement have turned every statement of Brother Branham into thus saith the Lord, in addition, I will also tell you in plain and categorical terms that this opinion of Brother Jackson is totally anti-scripture, and it is so simply because the Lord did not give him the divine insight to Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Full stop. The chief apostle most certainly did not have the revelation of this ending piece of God's prophetic puzzle, and he was not meant to have it, although you can deny it all you want to. Your denial makes no difference to the truth. About 2 decades earlier, that is before October 1995, in the contender dated March 1977, and titled The Chronology of Revelation, Part 1, Page 4, Column 2. Listen carefully to what Brother Jackson stated about the coming message of the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. He declared, now there was not actually a huge angel standing with one foot on the sea and the other on the earth. This is symbolic, showing his authority. The little scroll in his hand is open, which shows that all of the seals have now been broken, and he has come for the contents of the scroll. The names that are written within are the names of all the people that he, as high priest and mediator, has interceded for while he sat there on the mercy seat for almost 2,000 years. Now he is on earth in spirit form to claim them. Just as he had finished crying with a loud voice, Seven Thunders ahead uttering their voices, John was about to write what he had heard from the Seven Thunders, but a voice from heaven instructed him to seal up those things which the Seven Thunders uttered, and write them not. Now watch what Brother Jackson said about the Seven Thunders. How foolish for some to say that we cannot know what was uttered by the Seven Thunders. John was in the Spirit when he heard them, and even though John is dead, the Spirit that was on him is not dead. When the time comes for the bride to know what those thunders uttered, God will have a human vessel here on earth that he can communicate with, in the same way that he did with John, in the Spirit. And indeed, as we have laid out in many scribe messages, John as a lead apostle will not only lead us to the prophetic hour of the seven thunders, but he will also be the lead thunder, bearing the thunder message ahead of the other six thunders, as a man who eats the entire scroll of redemption, and who, as such, will put the bride on notice that the seventh seal has been broken, and that we have now entered into the prophetic hour of the seven thunders. Otherwise, just how is a universal bride to know that we have entered into the hour of the seven thunders without a lead ministry, an apostolic ministry? The material issue, however, is this, and please open your eyes. Brothers and sisters, right here in this very quote, the chief apostle openly and clearly stated that one man, a human vessel, which in reality gives us the lead apostolic ministry of John, will lead us into the hour of the seven thunders, as Brother Jackson declared. Even though John is dead, the Spirit, or the anointing, that was on him is not dead, and as such, God will take this anointing and invest it in a human vessel that God has chosen to lead us to the seven thunders, and this gives us nothing other than the return ministry of John. Church, this makes this particular quote a perfect quote, conveying an infallible scriptural fact, for it is solidly Bible-based, as it gives us the true application of Revelation 10, verse 11. Whereas, in the first quote we brought out, Brother Jackson took Revelation 10, 11, which belongs to one man, and applied it to plural men, thereby erroneously pluralizing its application, giving us a counter quote, a fan of Matthew 3, verse 12. Since, the very fact that in the contender dated March 1977, he projected the ministry of Revelation 10, 11, as that of one man, a human vessel, singular, bearing the reserved spirit or anointing of John, only for him, in the contender dated October 1995, to later nullify this scriptural declaration, this scriptural quote, by applying the same return anointing of John to plural men in various areas of the earth, proves beyond any shadow of doubt that the Lord just did not give the revelation of the return ministry of John to the chief apostle. Even though it is very true that John will lead us into the hour of the thunders as the lead apostolic thunder. Saints of God, this assessment we have given is absolutely and perfectly so, because we can only have a later correction of an untrue statement, and not a later nullification of a true statement. The later nullification of an earlier true statement that the chief apostle made proves beyond any iota of doubt that he did not have the revelation of what he was talking about. He just did not have the divine insight of Revelation 10, verse 11. Simple. We must not even forget that the fan also worked in a small measure in Brother Jackson's ministry, for he also spoke in duality on a number of issues, bearing counter quotes, a fact we have laid out in our scribe message, titled, The Fan and the Ending Ministry. As such, saints of God, we must realize that of a truth, Brother Jackson really had no clue to Revelation 10, verse 11, and we are not knocking him for not having its revelation, because he was not meant to have the revelation of it, and neither was the revelation of this prophetic verse of Scripture ordained to be unveiled in his junction of time, as the Lord reserved its unveiling strictly for the third junction of time, the hour of John, the owner of the prophetic verse of Scripture. At any rate, and as true believers of the Word of God, we must know that we cannot use Brother Jackson's quote, or the quote of any other man, whoever he may be, and however mightily anointed he may be, to overturn a plain prophetic projection of the Holy Scriptures. There is just no quote of any man that can be used to overturn God's revealed plan of redemption, God's ministry plot in Laodicea. It will not work. I say all that with respect, but I say it, Nonetheless, because it is the absolute truth. After all, and by the sheer sovereign ordination of God, I am the principal fruit of Brother Jackson's apostolic ministry, being the first ministry fruit of his chief apostolic ministry. The fact remains, however, that we have not been sent to defend the flesh of men, holding to their coattails, but we have been sent to defend the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, laid out in the Holy Scriptures. Even though I will also defend the image of Brother Jackson and his ministry position, together with his continuity revelation. For he was a faithful chief apostolic soldier of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church, Brother Jackson stated that when the hour of reality comes for God to establish the ministry of the seven thunders, just as the Lord had Apostle John to preview their ministry way back in 96 AD, he will equally have a human vessel here on earth that he can communicate with in the same way that he did with John, in the Spirit, to post the bride ahead in preparation for the thunders. You may ask, why is this a true projection, a true statement? It is because not only does it synchronize perfectly with the commission laid out in Revelation 10:11, but also because there can be no vacuum, and there is no vacuum in the leadership of God's elect people, the true bride of Jesus Christ. Consequently, someone somewhere has to lead us to the hour of the thunders. Someone somewhere, the lead apostolic ministry, has to lead us from the death of the chief apostle to the coming hour of the thunders. Otherwise, I will ask the Jackson movement a very simple question. How do we get from here to the thunders? How does God move the universal bride forward, all the way to the hour of the seven thunders, without a lead ministry, when we can clearly see that after the death of Moses, God gave the church that was only a mere shadow, the church in the wilderness, the man called Joshua, one man, despite the fact that there was a live threefold Jewish ministry in existence in that day. Wake up. Because if all you want to see is Elijah, then the chief apostle, both of whom are dead, and the seven thunders, the fundamental question still remains, just how do we get to the thunders without a lead apostolic ministry? Knowing full well that with the re-establishment of the office of St. Paul in this seventh age, we are back to the hour of original apostles. It is very interesting to know exactly how you hope to get to the thunders when the chief apostle has been dead since December the 4th, 2004, and in 3 months' time. On December the 4th, 2019, it will be 15 solid years since he passed away. I say this because of the fundamental fact that apart from having no apostolic leadership for those past years, the seven thunders will still be seven apostles known only to God, who cannot be put together, leaving out the lead apostle John. Come on! So, the crucial question still remains, how do we move from December 2004 to whenever the thunders appear on the scene, without a lead apostolic ministry? Just how do we get from December 2004, which was 15 years ago, to the seven thunders who are still in the future, when even the pure and original efficient fivefold ministry are yet to be constituted? This original class of ministry are yet to be put together by God, in reality, and not just in potentiality, that they may function as they are scripturally foreordained to function, producing the true church, the pure and original church, a world bride, whom the world has never seen, and are yet to see, even as we speak this very day. Come on! The world has not yet seen the pure original seed efficient fivefold ministry. And they have also not yet seen the pure original seed word bride. They never have, not since early church fell in the first church age, and was led down into Babylon, in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. Now deny that, and continue to present your most unscriptural fivefold ministry of water barbell, crying, yak, yak, yak. The fivefold ministry is on ground, and has been on ground since 2005, and they will take us to the seven thunders. Yes, I can see your fivefold ministry, and the marvelous work they have done to transform the universal bride into a rare gem, a glorious church, a divine beauty to behold. You self-deceived and deluded men. No wonder it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, and being deceived. You are at total liberty to believe whomsoever you choose to believe. For truth has never been the food for the religious masses, only except for God's elect seeds, an elect remnant, who are the Lord's despised few. May I say this to the Americans in the Jackson movement, and please hear me loud and clear, because your utter arrogance and self-will is your colossal undoing. The Efficient Fivefold Ministry will not be made up of just the Americans, for that is an absolute fact that you just do not want to understand. The message of Jesus Christ is a global message, and it is not about America, and neither is the message of the Holy Bible something you own, but it is about the universal body of God's elect seeds. So, when we talk about the royal bride of Christ, we are strictly talking about an elect universal body that is far beyond your nation. Because the infallible and immutable promise of God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, clearly declares, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, salvation-wise," meaning, as reaffirmed in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, "And in thy seed," Abraham's singular royal seed, "who is Jesus Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, salvation-wise." The Lord God did not say, "Through you, Abraham, shall the American nation be blessed." Saints, consider this. Most of the men in the ministry that team up and come together in meetings in the United States as we speak today are majorly Americans, although there may be one Canadian preacher, one Indian preacher, one Mexican preacher, and one South African preacher or other in their midst. So, does that now give us the original Universal Bride's fivefold ministry and the original Universal Bride? Come on, wake up and get real. I am making a very serious point. How do we get from the death of Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, to the hour of the thunders? There has got to be a lead ministry, a standard-bearing apostolic ministry, the carrier of the baton of truth, giving fresh carcass, not tommy rot, not carnal ideas of men, but only fresh manna, to continually feed and sustain the eagle bright seeds of God, taking us to that point, the point of the seven thunders, which can only be, and which will only be, after the original class of the Efficient Fivefold Ministry has first been reproduced, rightly dividing the word of truth. And may I add that you cannot take this lead ministry anywhere else but to the ministry that Jesus Christ gave us in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Because in 96 AD, John saw the ministry of the thunders ahead in a great prophetic preview, meaning that at the end of the day, and in its true prophetic application, we are also looking at the return ministry of John, who will equally have the singular privilege of not only leading us to the hour of the seven thunders, but of also bearing the message of the thunders ahead of the other thunders as the lead thunder. It is not that I expect the Jackson movement to accept this, for they never will. Nevertheless, it is a scripturally irrefutable truth we have laid out in many scribes for anyone who is interested in knowing the truth. They can deny it all they want to, it makes no difference to truth. For as it is written, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, verse 18. Truth is marching on. It always has, and it always will, for it conquers all, ever prevailing, truth being completely invincible. Do not even forget that Brother Branham also spoke about the next step to the opening of the seventh seal, which is a ministry step, one that will lead us directly to the hour of the thunders, who are to be ignited only after the seventh seal has first been broken by Jesus Christ in heaven, a ministry step which gives us nothing but the lead ministry of John, recorded in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. As I must continue to reiterate, the Jackson movement can deny it all they want to. Brothers and sisters, it makes no difference to the truth. It also does not matter what quote these people have in the contender to justify their unbelief, as there is no quote of any man that you can use to nullify truth, God's truth. Otherwise, you will be very sorry at the end of the road. Because, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, you must realize that it is not even the thunders who ate the entire scroll of redemption, but it is only Apostle John. That should let you see that when we even talk about the unwritten prophetic message of the thunders, it is still in John, for it still makes up an integral and an indivisible part of John's message, as God does not bypass headship. But I ask, what does the Jackson movement know about headship? I say this because we are not going to have seven thunders When the seven thunders will all be seven apostles known to God, without John being one of them, as a man who alone eats the entire scroll of redemption. The thunders will not come out of the blues, but they will be made up of seven apostles known only to God, and we must know, therefore, that God will not put seven apostles together as thunders, without John being one of them, being the lead apostle. Consequently, there is no thunder that is going to come and tell John anything about the written revelation of Jesus Christ. I am only breaking down the relevant and applicable quote of Brother Jackson, giving the true statement its right application, because any fool can quote a man. I do not say that to be rude or arrogant, I only say to make a very serious point, for the day is so far spent, and we are not here playing a game of dominoes, and neither are we playing peekaboo, the game of hide and seek. Brothers and sisters, we have gone down this route to buttress a crucial point, that at the death of the chief apostle, the keystone, the major revelatory stone that faced the entire Jackson movement, and a stone that they stumbled on, is that of apostolic leadership, which is precisely why, using a canal quote of Brother Jackson, they blatantly deny and willfully reject the promised ministry of John. And it is all because of the evil ambition that was buried in the hearts of men. Otherwise, they would clearly see the promised ministry of John in the Holy Bible. They would clearly see the lead apostolic ministry of John recorded in Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, in John 21 verses 22 to 23, and in Matthew 13 verse 52, for John is the third and final householder scribe, if not for the unbelief that rules their hearts. In addition, they would also be able to see that in Revelation 1 verse 3, John is the third and final he that readeth, the last Gentile bride reader, in the Baba prophecy, bearing the full light of Jesus Christ, encapsulating the light of all the other readers, giving us the brightest light ever. However, it is the secret inordinate ambition these men held in their hearts, their stinking racial pride, their evil envy and jealousy, and the gross unbelief that was buried in their hearts, well masked with a smile, a seemingly genuine persona, and a seeming love for truth, that was all going to be exposed. God using her masterstroke for the Jackson movement, the same masterstroke he had earlier used for the Branham movement. And that was the sudden and unexpected death of Brother Jackson, on Saturday, December the 4th, 2004. Brothers and sisters, this now brings us to consider what we left out earlier, which is the exceedingly plain and clear way forward that the Spirit of God used Brother Raymond Jackson to lay before the Universal Bride of Christ, precisely on April the 24th, 2004, which was just about 7.5 months to his demise. It is a serious divinely inspired testimony, a Bible-based testimony, one that would be the very basis, and a most effective basis, for testing the entire Jackson movement, and a stone on which they stumbled and fell terribly. As our second major text for this message declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3b, and if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be, and there he shall forever remain, no matter how long he continues on in this way of faith, and unless he wakes up and backtracks, and makes right with the stone of offense, the very stone of truth on which he stumbled. All his sacrifices and devotion are for the donkey ill, for there can be no iota of spiritual progress of any sort after the fall. It is according to the infallible and unchangeable law that God has built into his word, the law of increase and decrease, which is the law of possession and elimination, which God built into truth. In Mark chapter 4, from verse 24, Jesus earnestly warned, just as it is written, and he, Jesus, said unto them, who are his followers, take heed what ye hear, with what measure, or utter yield, ye meet, to truth, it shall be measured to you. Now listen seriously to this, and unto you that hear, if you truly and sincerely hear, having a divine revelation of the truth from God, on account of your pure heart towards the word of God, shall more be given, ensuring that you can only increase in the revelation of life, which gives us the law of possession and of increase. In total contrast, watch verse 25, where Jesus also warned, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have much more, and he that hath not, for he only thinks that he has, From him shall be taken even that which he hath, that which he seemed to have, for he shall be completely dispossessed, totally stripped of truth, giving us the law of elimination and dispossession, or the law of elimination and decrease. Apostle Luke gave us the revelation of precisely what Jesus meant here, declaring in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, "Take heed therefore how ye hear," meaning, watch your attitude to truth, and also make sure that you have a pure heart, only a pure love for truth, a pure motive, without any inordinate ambitions or kind of selfish reasons for standing for truth. Why is this necessary, you may ask? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, for he never really possessed the truth. He only appeared to possess the truth, and he only thought he possessed the truth. Having impure motives, bearing a defiled heart, and a wrong attitude to the word of truth. Think about this, for it is serious food for thought. Brothers and sisters, as I said before, it is the secret inordinate or evil ambition men held in their hearts, which they masked beautifully with a smile, and with a seemingly general persona, and a seeming love for truth, is what was all going to be exposed, for God was going to try them with the stone of offense, the stone of apostolic leadership, which will strike decisively at the heart of their very ambition, strike at the very center of their hidden inner ambition. The catalyst for the great exposure of the Jackson movement that would follow was the master stroke of God, which was the sudden and unexpected death of the chief apostle, having already inspired Raymond Jackson to set the stone of apostolic leadership publicly before them, in crystal clear terms. It was now really a matter of who is on the Lord's side. Exodus 32 verse 26. This leads me to set forth the open testimonies that the chief apostle gave concerning my standard-bearing apostolic ministry. As I often state, a fact which I must now reiterate, because there will not be another age after this, to write the testimony of what the Lord is doing in this seventh and final age of Christendom. Therefore, we will be inspired by the Holy Spirit to give the testimony of all that the Lord is doing today in the earth, for and on behalf of the universal bride of Christ. It is a testimony that we will most certainly carry in this last move, in this final junction of time in Laodicea, because here is where it all ends, regardless of the disposition of men towards any such testimony. May I say this to the opposition? I was not there when God spoke to Noah, and commissioned him to build an ark of salvation, and Noah then informed the people in the whole earth in that day that safety and salvation was reserved exclusively for all who entered the ark he was building, and that the rest of the people in the whole world who refused to enter the ark would perish. But I believe it, because it is the true word of God, and it is written. Genesis 6 and 7. Hebrews 11 verse 7. I was not there when God called Moses, and said to him, I have heard the cry of my people. Now go to Pharaoh, and bring my people out of Egypt to the promised land, with great signs and wonders. I learnt it from the writings of Moses himself, for he bore this testimony, and I believe it, because it is the word of Jehovah God, for it is written. Exodus 3 and 4. I was not there when prophet Isaiah was transported to heaven in a vision of the Lord, when he saw the throne of God, and he cried, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. I learnt it from the writings of Isaiah himself, for he bore this testimony, and I believe it, because his testimony is true, for it is written. Isaiah 6 verses 1 to 9. I was not there when God told prophet Jeremiah, Do not say that you are a child, but before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations of the earth. Jeremiah even proclaimed, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. I learnt it from the writings of Jeremiah himself, for he bore this testimony, and I believe it, because his testimony is true. For it was inspired by God, and it is written. Jeremiah 1 verses 1 to 10. I was not there when God told Ezekiel, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. I learnt it from the writings of Ezekiel himself, for he bore this testimony, and I believe it, because his testimony is also true, being God inspired, and moreover, it is written. Ezekiel 3 verse 17. I was not there when St. Peter made the Gentile connection, and he later declared openly to the entire Jewish ministry, saying, God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel, and believe. However, I read it from the recorded inspired testimony that St. Peter gave, and I believe it, because it is a true testimony, for it is written. Acts 15 verse 7. I was not there when the Lord Jesus suddenly appeared to Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, wrought his conversion, renamed him Paul, and ordained him to be the apostle of the Gentiles, a wise master builder and foundation layer. I was also not there when Apostle Paul declared publicly, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the end of the earth. I learned it all from the spoken testimony of St. Paul himself, and I believe his testimony, because it is a true testimony, for it is written, and the depth of his revelation of Jesus Christ confirms it. Romans 11 verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3 verses 10 to 11, Acts 13 verses 46 to 47. I was also not there when the angel of the Lord spoke to Brother Branham in broad daylight on the Ohio River in 1933. That he would be Elijah, declaring, As John the Baptist forever in the first coming of Jesus Christ, so you will carry a message that will forerun Christ's second coming. I heard it from the lips of Brother Branham in his sermons, a testimony which he gave over and over again in numerous messages, in numerous meetings, as well as in numerous places, and I believe it, because his testimony is true. And the Bible restoring message he bore vindicates that he was indeed the Elijah of Malachi 4 verse 6b. Furthermore, I was equally not there when, whilst walking to the platform in a particular meeting, suddenly the anointing fell on a young man, and he prophesied, declaring in tongues that Brother Branham was sent as Elijah to carry a message to forerun Christ's second coming. And three different French interpreters individually translated that prophetic message. And they all gave the same translation. I learnt of this experience from the mouth of Brother Branham. And I believe the testimony, because as I said before, the Bible restoring message Brother Branham bore vindicates that he was indeed the Elijah. I was not there when the angel of the Lord also met him in the barn, deep in the wilderness, and gave him three signs, commissioning him to take a healing gift, a healing campaign, around the world. I heard it from the testimony that Brother Branham gave, and I believe it, because it is a true testimony. I was not there when he was also told by the angel of the Lord that he will speak to kings around the world. I heard it from his message, and I also believe it, because it is a true testimony, and it was fulfilled as was promised. Likewise, I was not there when he was anointed and inspired to speak squirrels into being, and to give life back to a dead fish, whose gills and intestines had been completely pulled out of its mouth by a fishing hook when he came into the third pool of his ministry. But I heard the testimony of it from Brother Branham himself, and I equally believe it, because it is the truth, particularly as his Elijah ministry bore a most astounding supernatural anointing, vindicating that he was used to fulfill Luke 17 verse 30, giving us a taste of the reality of the earthly prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. All these personal testimonies, given by all these great men of God, prove that the Lord does not send any man who is carrying a message to the universal body of God's elects to play hide and seek, leaving people ignorant or in doubt as to who they are and as to the basis for which they are to be listened to, because they are men sent by God. That is why we presented a message in the Scribe titled John, the Confessed and Denied Not, and it is available free downloading on our website by anyone who is interested in knowing the truth, along with all our other publications. Church, before we lay out the testimonies that the chief apostle gave as a stepping stone, we first want to present just two material prophetic testimonies of Elijah, both which relate exclusively to the same ministry of John. In 1960, in his message titled The Seven Church Ages, page 36, paragraph 5, Brother Branham rejoiced in the Spirit, declaring prophetically, "Now, when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles is finished, the gospel is ready to go back to the Jews. Now listen to this. Oh, if I could just tell you something that is about to happen right in this day, right in this Laodicean church age, this great thing that is about to happen will carry over to Revelation 11, being a connecting ministry, for we cannot get from one point to another point, and speaking specifically, we cannot get to that point without a carryover ministry, and pick up those two witnesses, those two prophets, Moses and Elijah, turning the gospel back to the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is in order. As the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, even so the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews at the coming hour of the Jewish connection, and the rapture will come. Brothers and sisters, you can go nowhere with this quote except to the Holy Bible, which lays out God's entire plan of redemption, and it gives us nothing other than the wrap-up ministry of John, revealed in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Period. Because we are looking strictly and exclusively at a carryover ministry, when the day of Gentiles is finished, simply and clearly meaning when the Laodicean age runs out. Now let the Branham movement also tell us that Brother Branham was speaking here in humility about himself in this very quote. Let these accomplished twisters and perverters of the word of truth, accomplished evil instruments of stumbling, tell us that. Church, this prophetic quote brings us straight to the ministry of John recorded in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Moreover, when you leave the recorded commission of the ministry of John, a commission which ends in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, where the standard or plumb line was given to John, you come immediately and directly to the ministry of Moses and Elijah, those two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 6. Do not forget, saints of God, for I must emphasize this truth, that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, we are still looking at the ministry commission of John, where he holds the plumb line in his hand, which is the divine standard, restoring true worship back to the nation of Israel, a prophetic passage which gives us the Jewish connection, conveyed in a complex prophetic imagery. This quote gives us the first witness of John, which the message of Brother William Branham gave to us. Secondly, still in the same message, titled The Seven Church Ages, page 174, paragraph 2, Brother Branham also spoke about the messenger in the hour of the latter rain, clearly warning, "Now I want you, the elect seeds of God, to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled, which is Brother Branham's ministry." For here, he was clearly referring to his own ministry as Elijah. It has to be, for it is the spirit quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time. By the time Jesus comes, all scripture must be fulfilled, including Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age. When the messenger of Malachi comes, Brother Branham was still clearly and openly referring to his own ministry. He, Elijah, Brother Branham, will be right with the word. He, Elijah, Brother Branham, will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now let another man say such things and testify about his own ministry, and the Branham movement as well as the Jackson movement will simply go berserk, amok, crying, "You are testifying about yourself, Let someone else do it for you, you self-proclaimed apostle. Now pay close attention to this, for it is precisely what we want to see in this quote. Brother Branham declared prophetically, he, Elijah, still Brother Branham, will start at the serpent seed and carry on to, precisely who? The messenger in the latter rain, which is what gives us the bride's great revival that is just ahead, a revival that our Elijah was not privileged to partake of, for he is dead, but one that he, nevertheless, saw by the eye of faith, in a divine prophetic revelation of God. May I challenge this totally apostate and unbelieving Branham movement, taken in the Jackson movement. Now try all you can, and let me see just how you will successfully place the fulfillment of this quote on Brother Branham, because that is all you know to do, because you do not want to see anyone else, and you will never see anyone else. Since I throw this challenge, because it is strictly under the latter rain that the royal bride of Jesus Christ will bear her fruits, and that is also when she will go in the rapture. May I warn, therefore, that this quote gives us none other than the lead apostolic ministry of completion and of possession, the Joshua on ground, the man John, who will lead us till we literally enter glory land, heaven, on the day of our translation, as laid out in Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, giving it another typological application which the Word of God gives to us. We are looking squarely at the Enoch of this seventh age, because old Enoch, the seventh from Adam, Jude 1 verse 14, not only represents the living bright church in this seventh age, but Enoch, being a man in the ministry, also represents the lead apostolic ministry ordained for the rapture. For we are looking at the end type of the ministry of Enoch, who was the first dispensational messenger ever, just as John is also the last Gentile dispensational messenger ever, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brothers and sisters, you must see, for it is crystal clear, that the two quotes of Elijah we have just considered are both firmly and irrevocably tied to the apostolic lead ministry of John of Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, the lead ministry of continuity, completion, and possession. You cannot take these prophetic quotes anywhere else but to the Holy Scriptures relating to this end time. Period. Church, having seen just two out of the many inspired testimonies Elijah bore concerning the way forward for the universal bride of Jesus Christ, in this third junction of time, inspired testimonies which were applicable only after the death of Brother Raymond Jackson, the end time Paul, we will now return to consider the testimony that the chief apostle equally gave concerning his successor carrier of the torch of revealed truth, fresh carcass, the lead apostolic ministry of continuity and completion. In his message delivered on September the 5th, 2004, titled, The Body of Christ, Part 3, Page 3, Column 5, speaking specifically about how the Lord will accomplish unity, the unity of the faith, the chief apostle declared plainly and categorically, I will have to say this morning, God will not start with the voice of men. He will start with the voice of one man that will lift up the truth, strong enough, loud enough, that those elect men will know God is in it. And that is what I'm saying this morning. If there is to be, not that there has been, or that there is, but he clearly said, if there is to be unity, a revealed faith, there has got to be the voice of one man, who all the other men will get aligned with. Always remember, brothers and sisters, the birth of anything, you get the head first. The apostolic head. The head's got to be set in motion first. That head don't have to be one man, and the apostolic head is not one man, but plural apostles. Hence, Brother Jackson warned, but it starts with one man, who is the lead apostle, and as that one man speaks, other components of the head join with it. And then, when the body of Christ universal begins to see that the head is taking shape, then the people can begin to say, as for me and my house, we're going to go that way. So, this morning, brothers and sisters, it's not the big I and little you. It's not Dr. Doolittle. But it's the brother that God has known, for ordained of God into that precise position, carrying the rallying voice of truth, the uniting message of pure and non-adulterated truth. Brother Jackson continued, declaring, I have to say today, God's going to put his head in shape. The head's got to speak, Jesse. and to help the Bride of Christ appreciate the militant manner of the coming lead apostle. Brother Jackson then warned whoever has ears to hear, saying, "The body of Christ cannot be a nucleus of people running here and there with their ideas. Well, I don't like to hear him preach. He's too rough. Let's follow Jesus." My point is, brothers and sisters, God's got some men on the earth today. They are parts of that head. And that head is not chosen by the body. God chooses it. And when that head starts speaking, God depends or demands that there is now reaction from the body, unity reactions. Since we cannot take this quote anywhere else but to Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, for we are looking squarely at the ending apostolic lead ministry of John, carrying a crystal clear voice that enables and secures revelatory unity, having the entire all complete and pure revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. That was why in the November 2004 contender, titled The Great Mystery, Part 5, page 7, column 5, the chief apostle again prophetically declared, "I am simply saying to you, there is something coming up the road, and I believe God is absolutely going to anoint his servants, God's true servants ordained for the royal bride, wherever they are around the earth, to be ready for it." And exactly what are they going to be ready for? Now listen to this, and be wise, for he revealed in clear terms, out of the shadows, God is going to set a ministry out front, a lead apostolic ministry, that is going to stand true to his call, his purpose, and to the revelation of truth that has been restored, firmly and faithfully upholding the standard of the truth of the Holy Bible. Brothers and sisters, this successive lead apostle can give us none other than John of Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, the man whom the Lord ordained before the foundation of the world to eat the entire scroll of redemption, bearing fresh carcass, the fresh manner of the word of Christ, to the universal bride church. My oh my, what an apostate and unbelieving Jackson movement. Since, when I warned the Jackson movement in one of our earlier publications, one of our books, that Brother Jackson said that there is going to be a lead ministry carrying fresh carcass, fresh nuggets of truth, they went berserk, claiming that I was adding to my message, something Brother Jackson never said, that I was twisting his words. However, in his message in the contender dated 2004, and titled The Great Mystery, Part 2, page 3, column 4, the chief apostle most certainly stated, "I say this morning, I do not want to sound foolish, but I have to say, when God begins to deal with a human being, a singular person, to show some revelation of things, meaning, to unveil new revelations of truths, fresh manna, the fresh bread of life, he, God, is not going to do it, future tense, in a way that the old crowd is going to run and jump in his lap. They never have and they never will. Because as he, Joshua, of completion and possession, God's warrior, the Lord's battle axe, he will be bearing a hard message of pure revealed truth which they cannot endure, firmly upholding apostolic leadership, and conveying the indignation of God against all unbelief, particularly as he will not be pampering any man's carnal ego, and neither will he be dancing to further any man's carnal ministry ambition." Saints of God, what the Jackson movement failed to understand, a vital truth they will not understand, is that the voice of God's spokesman for setting unity in motion and for ensuring unity of the faith is also a total separating voice, fencing of the old ministry crowd of the mainstream Jackson movement, especially because of his categorical and unwavering stand for apostolic leadership. Do not forget that the war to the saved Noah was what also destroyed the world, and that the angels that saved Lot were the ones who also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The message of Elijah that called out is the same message that also separates, walking by the fan, and the truth that gathers seeds is also what separates non-seeds. And before you tell me that the statement is not prophetic of a subsequent lead ministry, I will prove to you that it most certainly is. Brothers and sisters, when I put this quote in one of our books published between 2005 and 2006, Mike Hefner, the pastor of Faith Assembly in Montgomery, Illinois, crucified me before his church and emailed me the audio file of his crucifixion, and it was nothing but a complete message of mud. He did not teach or preach anything from the scriptures that would edify and establish his church on any truth of God. He only called me every evil name he could find in the Holy Bible, from Eliar to Demas to Alexander the Coppersmith to Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among the people, to a deceiver, a con artist, to be specific, to a man who has gone in the way of Balaam, and by inference, to a dare, you name it. He also claimed, falsely and blatantly, that I twisted Brother Jackson's message to suit my purpose, making his quote say what it does not say, only because I made the last quote of Brother Jackson we have just considered one that had a future application, a quote I applied to Brother Jackson's successor lead apostolic ministry, bearing fresh nuggets of truth, fresh manner. But that is exactly what Brother Jackson said the man will most certainly do, taking that quote again, in an ambiguous, clear, and categorical terms. The chief apostle declared, I say this morning, I do not want to sound foolish, but I have to say, when God begins to deal with a human being, to show some revelation of things. What else does this mean, other than fresh carcass, fresh nuggets of truths? Come on! Let me say this morning, any man who will minister to the true bride of Jesus Christ, particularly a man who supposedly followed Brother Jackson in the continuity light of the Word of God that he bore for the universal body of Christ, would at least be expected to have an understanding, a true understanding, of the continuity message of the man he claims he followed. What a very sad case this is, of men spewing out their total ignorance of the continuity message they claim to be defending. Oh my! Church, because men like Mike Hefner do not bother to study the contenders and faithfully lay out the revealed truths of the Holy Scriptures that are set forth in them before their local assemblies, except to preach their own little tidbit sermons of carnal comfort and encouragement that lead their church members nowhere, unknown to Mike Hefner, the quote I gave is on page 3, column 4 of the contender, titled, The Great Mystery, Part 2. However, previously in column 3 of the same page, Brother Jackson had already spoken about this new ministry, which he rightly referred to as a third ministry move of God, beginning with that of William Branham, followed by that of the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, which now gives us the third ministry move of John. So, on the same page 3, but from column 3, Brother Jackson stated, the message, which we all know is the voice of the seventh angel, the voice of Elijah, the star messenger to Laodicea, began to be sounded to this age, and a short time later God took the physical man from us. But he did not take the voice, because it pertained to the things that had been spoken, the things or truths that make up his voice, as a star messenger to Laodicea, the seventh angel of Revelation 10, verse 7. And that verse says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Brother Jackson now continued, adding, should. The word should is a progressive word that does not mean instantly. It means progressively. It literally means all that the man brought has to be understood by the elect people that will be the bride of Christ in the end time. They have to see clearly what it all points to. Now watch this and see who is deceiving who. Also within the time frame of Laodicea, God will raise up a ministry which will be the third phase of what He, God, is starting to do in restoring the bride to originality, a work of restoration which began with Elijah, and which was continued by the chief apostle, giving us the first two ministry phases. Since, having spoken of the third phase of restoration, which now gives us the phase of the completion of the restoration of the word bride, the chief apostle then warned of the horrible attitude the movement will have towards this third phase, saying emphatically, that is the path, I have to say, that the overall movement does not want anyone else to do or even have any part in. Because the only lead ministry the Branham movement will accept is that of Elijah, William Branham. Hence, Brother Jackson added, you can say that God sent a prophet, but then if God was to say he was going to raise up other men, which, in scriptural reality, gives us Apostle Paul and Apostle John, successively, you deny that fact and refuse to listen to anyone else. Just as the Jackson movement also firmly and vehemently denied John, and equally refuses to listen to him. the chief apostle concluded, saying about this sad rejection, "That is to your own hurt." Now deny that. Brother Jackson said that, for denial is all what unbelievers know just how to do. Deny that, he said, there would be a third ministry move of God, a subsequent apostolic lead ministry that will carry fresh manner of life, following his chief apostolic ministry. The absolute and undeniable fact still remains, brothers and sisters, that all these quotes of Brother Jackson, these testimonies, have no application to anyone else, other than John, the ending lead apostle of the Bride of Jesus Christ, conveyed in Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, the bearer of eagle food, fresh carcass, the fresh kill of the Word. Moreover, brothers and sisters, you will have agreed with me unreservedly that all these quotes of Brother Jackson synchronize perfectly with the prophetic testimony of Brother Branham, who spoke of the same wrap-up apostolic lead ministry, the carry-over lead ministry, that is John. So, what exactly are you talking about, Mike Hefner? You have no clue. And may I also add, Mike Hefner, it is not me that you are throwing mud on, but you are throwing mud at the truth, for it is the Spirit of Truth you are throwing mud on, because I am nothing. For you should be able to see truth in projection, and not call truth names. No seed of light does that. Brothers and sisters, although there are so many other quotes of the end time Paul we can give from his sermons, testimonies Brother Jackson gave in various messages he preached in 2004, over and over again, clearly pointing forward to his successor lead apostle. Nevertheless, these ones are enough for anyone who is truly interested in the truth. So, it is settled, for it has been well established, that in various messages, Brother Jackson truly pointed forward with absolute clarity to a subsequent apostolic ministry. I say this because the apostolic fold of the Ephesian ministry had already been set in motion with the re-established beginning office of the Apostle Paul, which Brother Jackson occupied. Church, now listen carefully to me. It was at the Spring Convention of Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, Indiana, precisely on Saturday, April 24, 2004, during the evening service, when Brother Jackson stood up to introduce my ministry to the Bride of Christ. It came as a great surprise, and I was pleasantly stunned by it, because none of us saw it coming. He was moved by the Holy Spirit, here at this end time, to do something that had not been done since the days of Moses. Back in the days of the church in the wilderness, the church in a shadow, the called out body of God's elect people. For just like Moses was instructed by God, who is a God of types and shadows, in Numbers 27 verses 15 to 23, to lay his hands on Joshua before the whole congregation of Israel, and to put some of his honor on him, introducing Joshua as his successor lead ministry, the Lord also inspired the chief apostle to do likewise, in April 2004, in the days of the Church of Reality, the end type of the church in the wilderness. Brother Jackson, who was standing at the pulpit, invited me to come and take my message that night, and I came forward. As he was about to make his introduction, a prophetic message went forth in tongues by a sister, followed by another message in tongues by another sister. And then it was followed by a message in tongues by Kevin Craze, who now also gave forth the interpretation, declaring by the Holy Ghost, "Yea, my people, have I not declared unto thee, yea, that this message, a continuity, yea, that is being established, it shall go unto the ends of this earth, saith the Lord. Yea, I have sent this vessel, that he shall testify, yea, of the work, and that which is established, yea, many miles away, in Africa. It is of my hand, yea, it is of my work, that I have brought it about. I have established it, and nothing, yea, shall come against it. For it shall stand, yea, through battles, through fire. Yea, my truth will go on, and it shall accomplish that which it was intended. And I say, it is my master plan. I say it is I, the living God, that have brought it to be. Now listen attentively to this. Yea, the political man, a collective noun standing for political men, men who were playing politics with the word of life, men with secret agendas and inordinate ambitions buried deep in their hearts, sitting quietly and looking seemingly pious, with smiles on their faces, sitting on Brother Jackson's platform, year in, year out, has established his agenda, but it shall have no effect. For in the end, I shall prevail, and my word shall be yea and amen, saith the Lord. Amen and amen. You can watch this video clip on our website, directly on our video page, in our message, titled, Locating God, the Visitation of God. Since Brother Jackson did not know the Lord was going to give this prophecy that day, and neither could he have imagined the politics that men were playing with their access to his international internet platform, and with the continuity message he bore for the universal bride of Christ. But God Almighty, the omniscient God, knew the secret, selfish, evil motives that laid in the hearts of these men, and God was now going to set a stone of offense before them, the stone of apostolic leadership, which Brother Jackson's imminent, sudden, and unexpected death would trigger. The sudden and unexpected death of the chief apostle would be God's masterstroke. So, after this prophecy had been given by Kevin Craze, who, in the day, was from the church in Bloomington, Illinois, pastored by Gary Stewart, having Tim McKay as its assistant pastor, and assembly, which, in the day, had already separated itself from the chief apostle, on account of Brother Jackson's open rebuking stand against Tim McKay's despicable conduct with sisters. And with the prophecy given, Brother Jackson now laid his hands on me, placing his arm around my shoulder, and he introduced my ministry to the Bride of Christ as an open witness, proclaiming, I want to speak just this moment on behalf of Brother Amos. I never expected anybody in this world to ever rise up and write any reports about me or anything. I never looked for it. But after he had came here, I don't know, a few times, he goes back home and he writes his first book. He sent me a copy. I appreciated it. Then he comes here. He goes back. He writes another one. I'll say this, Brother Amos, the world might look at you as nothing, but there is a people around this world that's going to see this book, titled, He That Is To Come. Not because it is about me, being the chief apostle, but I believe for these 30-some years I've stood for something. To give other ministers a chance and an opportunity to see something, that they might too, fill the ranks of responsibility. And you've put in writing a very simple way of saying, you've done as good a job as Luke ever did. There's no doubt, you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, as a bride gets ready to leave this world, plainly giving us the ending apostolic lead ministry of the elect bride of Christ, who leads us straight to the rapture. The chief apostle ended his open witness that day with a blessing, saying to me, God bless you. God bless you, brother. May I act, and you must see it for what it truly is, because the divine picture is as plain as day for all true lovers of the truth. Right here, on this very day, in that international convention, the chief apostle gave us whom Elijah referred to as the messenger in the latter rain. I repeat, whom the chief apostle referred to as the one who, no doubt, will write the last chapter of the book of Acts. Elijah referred to as the messenger in the latter rain, and it gives us none other than the ministry of the lead apostle John. Here we have the third and final bearer of the eagle food, fresh manna, the fresh bread of life, which is the fresh kill of the word. In this eagle age, when we will meet Jesus Christ physically in the air, for we are powered by the anointing of a flying eagle. Now fight to that. Deny it. Revelation 4 verse 7. Brothers and sisters, on that very day, the continuing and concluding apostolic leadership stone was set by the chief apostle, as led by the Spirit of God, and the entire Jackson movement was now facing this apostolic leadership stone, the subsequent bearer of the fresh bread of life, the fresh carcass, fresh manna, because it was now a matter of months, and then the chief apostle would be taken off the scene, and the Jackson movement would be tried with this stone of offense, which had been known to them, they all faced. The law of possession and dispossession was to be applied, the law of increase and decrease, the law of elimination, all based on the true inner attitude of men, the unseen secret motives buried in the hearts of men to the continuity truth, which the chief apostle bore. Hence, as in the days of Gideon, by the subsequent death of Brother Jackson, the men in the ministry who claimed to follow the chief apostle were brought by the Holy Spirit to the waters to be tested. that we may see precisely what was buried in the heart of every man. George 7. And here are their waters. Precisely on January the 16th, 2005, they either passed or failed. Facing the stone of offense, the stone of God's apostolic leadership, the true apostolic guide under Jesus Christ, and the evident fruits of this test would later be made manifest before the world. Church, in the day, the introduction of my ministry as a way forward for the true bride of Jesus Christ, my introduction to take over from the chief apostle as a lead apostle, presented live openly before the people and not in secret, for God does not play hide-and-seek with his great plan of redemption that was sealed with the most precious blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. When my wife and I came for the burial of Brother Jackson later in December of the same year, 2004, I did not even think that anyone would remember the open declaration that the chief apostle had made concerning me that April. But the day before the burial, when we were viewing the body of Brother Jackson, which was laid out in the funeral home, it was evening time, and my wife and I decided to view the body for the last time. As we entered the hall, which was by then deserted, I began to hear very distinct footsteps behind me, even though the floor was well carpeted. And when I swung back to see who it was, I saw no one. I became afraid, and goose pimples broke out all over me, as I realized that we had an invisible presence in that hall. My wife was also finding it hard to hold her balance, as the anointing in the hall was strong, and so we decided to head for the exit. As we exited the hall into the main corridor, Brother Alvin Suggs was just coming in, and we greeted one another. I was totally shocked when he suddenly said, "Brother Jackson said you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts." I most certainly did not see that coming. Nevertheless, the open pronouncements Brother Jackson made about my ministry that April in 2004, and the way in which it was done, reminds us of the days of old, for the God of truth, who alone designed the plan of redemption, used Moses to set a beautiful type, which the Lord re-orchestrated on April the 24th, 2004, by inspiring the chief apostle to equally openly introduce me as his successor lead apostolic ministry. The ministry of completion and possession, exactly as Moses had done for Joshua, who was the lead ministry of continuity, completion, and possession. For under Joshua's lead prophetic ministry, the church in the wilderness, which was only the church in a shadow, entered the promised land, just as a true royal church of God, under the lead apostolic ministry that the Lord has given me in his sovereign and elective love and mercy, the elect bride of Jesus Christ, will equally attain glory land, heaven, on the day of the rapture, which is just ahead. That was why the chief apostle openly testified about me to the universal bride, plainly proclaiming, "You've done as good a job as Luke ever did. There's no doubt, you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, as a bride gets ready to leave this world, on the soon coming day of rapture." Brothers and sisters, for those wondering what writing the last chapter of the book of Acts means, we have laid out this issue in our scribe, titled, "The Acts of the Apostles, Writing the Last Chapter." And on that blessed day, in the glorious evening service, right at Faith Assembly, when Brother Jackson made this live declaration, pointing forward, "James Allen of Faith Assembly, I have to proclaim that you are there." But Thompson of Faith Assembly was there, although he had only just passed away at the time we were producing this message in the scribe. Kevin Craze of Faith Assembly, you were there, and you even prophesied that night. You were used by the Spirit of God to give a true prophecy, one that synchronized perfectly with the open declaration the chief apostle made the same night about my ministry, even though you were not yet a member of Faith Assembly, let alone one of them ministers. Russell Davis of Fairhope, Alabama, you were there. Dave Godvender of Durban, South Africa, you were there. Roy Mims of Fairhope, Alabama, you were there. Mike Hefner of Montgomery, Illinois, you were there. Benjamin Boyd of Cartersville, Georgia, was also there, although he too has passed away, and is no longer here at the time of this production of the scribe message. Dennis Bailey of Cartersville, Georgia, you were there. The late Alvin Suggs of Calhoun, Georgia, was also there. Jason Bright of Phoenix, Arizona, you were there. Frank Speakman of Coleman, Alabama, you are there. Bob Stewart of Coleman, Alabama, you are there. Neil Connolly of New Brunswick, Canada, you are there. Fred Comier of New Brunswick, Canada, you are there. Tim Raleford of Clarksville, Indiana, you are there. The late David Bromley of East Chicago was there. Rolf Stromon of Verdal, Norway, you are there. La Cook of Manitoba, Canada, you are there. Sam Hofer of Manitoba, Canada, you are there. Juan Saucedo of Arizona, you are there. Jesus Padilla of Colorado, you are there. Isaiah Martinez of Montgomery, Illinois, you are there. William Fletcher of Williamstown, New Jersey, you are there. Leroy Hughes of Fairhope, Alabama, you are there. John Tay of Tema, Ghana, you are there. Austin Game of Tema, Ghana, you are there. Frank Anfona of Verdal, Norway, you are there. Sven Land of Verdal, Norway, you are there. And many more men in the ministry were also there. Brothers and sisters, I know that these men will say to themselves, "Are you trying to get us to follow you?" Of course, I am not, for I know that I will be wasting my time, as you never will. I am merely letting the universal bride of Christ know that you were witnesses because you were right there, regardless of your disposition towards this testimony. Fortunately, with this message, however, the Lord is giving you the opportunity for repentance, if you can find repentance in your hearts. For this is nothing but a mercy call, because God will not bring anyone to judgment without first sending him a warning, giving him a call of mercy. What you do with this message is between you and God. However, I will ask you this simple question, knowing that the message of the Holy Bible is one. For it is all about Jesus Christ in his progressive divine scriptural revelation. Just how is the word brought to her fresh manner without a lead ministry, which you all blatantly and openly deny? Come on! I ask this because in the Jackson movement, you have all been scattered to smithereens, and hence, apart from those who are following the false apostle, James Allen, none of you believe there is any current lead ministry. For your ministry plot is basically this: Elijah, the chief apostle, the fivefold ministry. And since this is your trajectory, your path, and a very strange one at that, I have to ask you, just how did the universal bride receive fresh manna in the days of Elijah, William Branham? It was through Elijah, a lead ministry. And how did the universal bride equally receive fresh manna after the death of Elijah? It was through the chief apostle, also a lead ministry, that of Raymond Jackson, proven by your own ministry trajectory, that no lead apostolic ministry, no fresh manna. So, I now ask, seeing that Proverbs 4 verse 18 is staring all of you right in the face, just how are you going to receive fresh manna today, here in this third junction of time in Laodicea, without a lead apostolic ministry? And how are the elect eagles of God who are still in your midst to survive without the only meal that can sustain them, which is fresh manna, the fresh kill of the word? What are you going to do with the return ministry of the lead apostle John? Just how are you going to sidetrack the return of the Spirit of John? What are you going to do with Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11? Revelation 11 verse 1. John 21 verses 22 to 23. Matthew 13 verse 52. And the open testimony the chief apostle gave concerning the lead ministry of unity, the apostolic lead ministry bearing fresh carcass, some revelation of things, following his own apostolic ministry. Church. All these men in the Jackson movement openly and consistently talk about William Branham as Elijah and Raymond Jackson as their chief apostle, over and over again like a crank record, feeling that they are speaking of Jesus Christ by their belief and open declaration. However, when we talk about the lead apostle John, they immediately say, "Talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus." These hypocrites. But as Jesus Christ stated, "Wisdom is justified of her children." Matthew 11 verse 19. Unfortunately for you, even though I do not expect you to accept it, the absolute truth still remains this: with your contempt for and willful denial of a present lead apostle, exactly what are you going to do with the overriding provision of Proverbs 4 verse 18, which cannot be suspended, circumvented, or nullified, a provision that cannot have any application without a bearer of the torch of truth, the carrier of fresh manna. The bottom line is, you do not care for fresh manna, which is the reason you do not care for a lead ministry. That is the underlying truth. You do not care for fresh manna, as your glaring horrible attitude towards the continuity message Brother Jackson bore for the Bride of Christ lets me know this fact. Yet, the absolute and immutable truth of God still remains this: no fresh manna, no life. May I say this to the Jackson movement, because most people do not know how to look at things, and please hear me loud and clear. The precise time you stumbled and derailed was not when James Allen preached his erroneous teaching on the third day, for your actual stumbling had taken place years before that, from way back in January 2005. The third day error, which broke your movement completely into pieces, scattering you to the four winds, was only the fruit of your derailment, the solid evidence that you had already stumbled and derailed, the evidence that you had fallen, and it is in this fallen state you will remain, unless you wake up and retrace your steps. You are at liberty to dispute it, and believe what you want to believe, for you are free moral agents. I say that because there is no way that opposing seeds will see eye to eye on issues of truth, for non-elects always have a candle way of looking at things, and we are not going to change that. Nonetheless, I will reiterate. The precise time you folks in the Jackson movement stumbled and derailed was when you fell upon the stone of apostolic truth, which was when the carnal judgment of James Allen and Bob Thompson was carried out, precisely on January the 16th, 2005, in a message titled, Reproof and Rebuke, an Antichrist judgment which you just cannot see for its utterival, because you feel that the judgment was justified, that it ought to have been done, and that is where you goofed, big time. Because you do not care to consider the facts, the true facts, the scriptural facts, except to look at this issue from an extremely narrow and completely warped, twisted, perspective of James Allen and Bob Thompson. The two men crossed a line in how they conducted themselves in that day, despite the many defense titled, He That Is To Come, My Defense, are sent to them through an email, dated January the 15th, 2005, a many defense I also forwarded to the saints. This many defense ought to have at least made them halt, suspend their intended judgment, even if it was only temporarily, pending the production of my defense book, if it was really all about the truth. It ought to have halted their intended judgment, because I had warned them in very clear terms that I was writing a book on my defense, and I even went further and asserted in that email. 1. When God called Moses, God told him he would deliver Israel and take them into the promised land. But as it turned out, Moses never got to the promised land. The question is this: if there was a brother, Amos, at that hour of time, and he wrote that Moses would be on ground till the children of Israel got to the promised land, would that have been a false projection? Please answer me. Would the brother have needed to retract anything? Definitely not. It will still have been a true projection which God cut short out of his own sovereign will. You would have had no basis to condemn such a book, if it was written. No. 2. When Brother Branham was on ground, the prophet to this age, we know his visions never failed, because it was, Thus saith the Lord. Later in his ministry, God gave him a 10th vision, a prophetic promise, whereby he would go to a certain city, under divine leadership, acquire a public ground to set up a tent and hold meetings, for as long as God would lead, without having to depend on organizational ministers, who sometimes force him to go contrary to God's leading, as it happened in South Africa. Brother Jackson often referred to this tent ministry, and how that within the Branham movement, it has generated the erroneous return ministry. However, the prophet passed away, and never fulfilled the tent vision. I ask, was the tent vision a lie? Was it a false projection? Does the death of the prophet make it an erroneous projection? You know it does not, for God is sovereign. Would you tear down the prophet's ministry, because he stated many times he would have a tent ministry, which he never had? Think about it. Why would you then kill me for projecting something that Brother Jackson had all the potentials to fulfill as chief apostle? Simply because of his death, the God of truth would be the judge of this matter. I rest my case on him. In the same email, saints of God, I equally told them emphatically, there is nothing I am going to retract in that book, showing them implicitly, indirectly, that I had a solid Bible defense, a solid Bible base. But it was not about the truth at all, for that was only a ruse, a smokescreen. It was all about the inordinate ambition of James Allen and Bud Thompson to usurp the apostolic office of the chief apostle, and the book was what they could use to get me out of their way. Period. That was precisely why, after my defense book, titled He That Is to Come, Truth in Conflict, my defense came out shortly after their kangaroo judgment, where I warned them in serious terms that they were shattering the Jackson movement, shattering the mini unity the Lord had used the chief apostle to accomplish, and that they were crucifying the truth about Brother Jackson's ministry position. They just did not care. Saints of God, by the sheer grace of God, my defense book scripturally secured my position. It reaffirmed and reinforced the truth, and the Lord used this book to completely shut their mouths, for it silenced them. And when they realized that they had no comeback, they completely left the issue of truth, the so-called error, and changed the goalpost. They changed the goalpost, for they completely left the issue of truth completely. And then, exactly what did they do? Like a pack of hyenas, they wickedly turned on my character, throwing absolute mud upon mud at me, painting me black and blue, raising false witnesses against me, all in their desperate bid to discredit me, that by destroying my image and integrity, they would render useless the open witness Brother Jackson had given about my ministry. For who would want to follow a con artist to the Jackson movement when you stood firmly with James Allen and Bud Thompson to crucify the truth? You all crossed a line. That is why to you in the Jackson movement, as we speak today, all that these two apostates did in January 2005 was in perfect order, because you chose not to read my Bible-based defense book on the matter. And you chose not to read it because you really just do not care, for after all, I am only a black man, and not even an African-American at that, but a black man from African, a nobody, and the two apostates are Americans, and more importantly to you, they are white. So, you willfully refuse to realize that this is a war of the two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. And why should you care? After all, and as the late David Brumley of East Chicago once said, I am just a black brother from Africa. And this is what Tim Relliford, the former song leader of Faith Assembly, said in recent times to his congregation, and it is perfectly reflective of the position the Jackson movement have taken on the canal judgment that James Allen and Bud Thompson carried out in January 2005, for he said, brothers had dealt with the situation of a minister, and I was supportive of it. It needed to be done. Books had been written, that things were said. Brother Jackson will be here to carry us to the end, which was right after his passing. That is why in the Jackson movement, you chose not to consider the fact that there are two sides to a coin, and that you seriously needed to consider what my defense was. If you had any true love for truth, particularly one, I warned you all that I had a Bible base, lest you judged erroneously, which is precisely what you did do, most blatantly and willfully. This is apart from the material fact that my books had been published ever before Brother Jackson passed away, and not after he passed away. Saints of God, having shown you what Tim Relliford said about what James Allen and Bud Thompson did, now listen to the email I received about my defense book on April the 14th, 2005, from Brian Neal, a man who also sat under Brother Jackson as a member of Faith Assembly for a few decades. His email reads, and please note that I gave it some punctuation marks where necessary, and also note that all emphasis is mine. Hello, brother. Amos and sister. Joyce, I received my defense book yesterday, of which I have waited with much anticipation and prayer. Thank you for sending them to me. I wondered and supposed how this response will be presented, and how it would affect my life both natural and spiritual. Listen to negative statements as I waited, which only creates questions in my mind. And frequently, I would reflect in memory the book I read called He That Is To Come, a book that has such a simple message, one that edified my soul but did not create confusion in my heart, and not in my soul either. So I would ask myself, what is this terrible argument about? Why have such false accusations been made about Brother Amos? What is it that has caused this separation? The Jackson movement did not see separation, because as far as they were concerned, only one man was cut off, one lone man in Africa. And it was all because they were not looking at issues. They were only following their own local ministry, fellow Americans, and they lost sight of God, the omnipotent God, the God of truth. Brian Neal continued, saying, I am sure I don't understand what has happened. But one thing I do understand, and that is, a separation is underway. Someone is falling asleep. Someone is waking up, but who is who? Have I walked so long, 30 years, professing to believe the bright message, and now to come down to such a simple truth that sets in order? Yes, agreed with that we believe. That is the end-time ministry of which Brother Jackson was the apostle of the hour. That Brother Branham was the restorer. That Elijah to come. So many prophecies, so many words against a man, a book that edified the very ministry God through Christ has established. What lies were told? Can someone remind me? Because I didn't understand it the first time, and still can't find what the real argument is about. Yes, I'm confused, but it wasn't the book that confused me. This I know. For the Holy Ghost in me bore witness that the prophecy was true, and the scriptures in types made spiritual sense. So why are the people upset that edification of this truth has taken place? Has any man presented scripture to prove this wrong? No, not one. So then the problem is what? A statement was made. Can one man be right and stand alone? They forgot that Raymond Jackson stood alone as one man against the entire Branham movement, and that he was right, whilst the entire Branham movement was wrong. Martin Luther stood alone against the Roman world, and he was right, whilst the Roman world was wrong. Enoch also stood alone in the first world, and he was right, whilst the whole world was wrong. Just as Noah subsequently stood alone in the same first world, and he was right, whilst the whole world was wrong. Furthermore, one man, Prophet Micah, stood alone in Israel against 400 prophets led by Prophet Zedekiah, and he was right, whilst they were all wrong. Since history always keeps repeating itself, for John is also standing alone as one man with the pure and untouchable word of truth. Brian Neal continued laying out their questions. Where is the fivefold ministry? He asked. A question to trouble one's soul, but still no scripture to set correction. Yes, there have been many scriptures spoken about this evil that came, but none addressed he that is to come. Now, there are many that state so proud, I stand for truth, and this is repeated many times and it sounds so secure. But I must ask, are we standing for something, or are we standing against something? Exactly. I am told we must get off of the fence and make a decision. For the time is short. A decision about what? Has the doctrine that I have received from the ministry and taught by the Holy Ghost changed? The best I can tell, and I am sure, that the scriptural truths that I have received have not changed, but only are clearly defined. So what fence is so frequently referred to? Some months and even over the years, I have received a warning from the Lord in the form of a dream, one that I share with you over the phone this past January, that I was walking in darkness and could not find my way home. This is unbelief in my life, I have surmised. I seek Jesus often that my unbelief be removed, that I might live truth. This truth is scriptural truth, the type of truth that brings gravity to one's life and direction in spirit, so as to please Jesus. When I come again, will I find faith? This is the type of truth I need and I pray that I seek for. I want to be in the bride, and I know that the opportunity has been given. I don't want to fail. He that is in me will teach me all truth. That is the promise that we have received. With all this said, I will state that I asked Jesus many times to show me who is telling the truth, who has the wrong motive, who has the wrong spirit, and who has the truth. Am I blind to the situation because of the love I have for my brother? These things have I asked Jesus, for only He can guide me, save me, and lead me home. And His home is where I want to be. So I prayed again and said, If brother Amos has the wrong spirit, show me. Let me see it in this next book, my defense. Does brother Amos have the wrong motive, I ask, a self-calling? Or does brother Allen and brother Bud have these conditions, I ask? So now that I have been privileged to read my defense, I will say but a few more words. You stated the arguments. You provided the documentation, scripturally and historically, and I believe honestly, you reinforced the truth that you brought, and the purpose that you brought it with, and you secured your relationship with truth, and with purpose, and with your relationship with Brother Jackson. Yes, I believe Brother Jackson loved you, and there was never a thought in my mind that Brother Jackson did not read the book. Did he read every word of it? I don't know. Did he need to read every word of it? No, he knew the purpose and intent of it when he saw the cover, and what he read convinced him it was correct and in order. Are you attempting to set a position for yourself with this book? No, not at all. I agree with you that you had no choice but to lay a foundation for people to read and see for themselves who you are. Did you need to judge Brother Allen and Brother Bud for their conduct and attitudes? Before I read the book, I hoped you would wait for that, but now that I read the book, it was part of your defense. And the book needed to close this situation in its entirety. I thought to myself, you will reap what you sow. Brother Allen and Brother Bud stated, a true minister will take judgment. Well, will they? Do they need to? Yes. Did you need to speak to the Jacksons in this book? I believe yes, and you were kind in the presentation of what you said, and it is the truth. The parallel of the Branham movement in this situation is so similar. Oh my! Did you need to show photos of the spiritual lights, supernatural lights, in the meetings? Not for me, but some people will believe the photos, and some will say they are fraud. My precious brother Allen stated they are fraud, and I heard him say it. It makes me sad. I do hope for some type of healing, but only God knows. I enjoyed the book, My Defense, and when I was finished reading, I had peace, and still do. No, I don't know where the Fivefold Ministry is, or what the next convention will bring, but I do know that today, I stand with the truths that Christ has given you in these books, for they meet the scriptural test. Stay humble, strong in Christ's love, and continue in your dedication to Him, is my prayer. Love, Brother Brian. It is most unfortunate that today, the same brother is now knocking the ministry of John, tearing down what he helped to uphold. Having attended our convention in Lagos, as well as attending many of my meetings in Calhoun, Georgia, between 2005 to 2010. However, this sad turn of events does not change the truth of what he wrote, because the truth is a truth. And the book, which was written to unveil the prophetic quote of Brother Branham, scripturally setting forth the person to come, is an absolute and an irrefutable truth, for Brother Raymond Jackson is truly the apostle, the Paul of this end time, the chief apostle. If you cannot see the facts, and you cannot see precisely what went on back then, you will only continue on in your darkness, and the choice is absolutely yours. Because you ought to see precisely where a tree falls, if you are not blind. Brothers and sisters, after the separation in 2005, in one of our many meetings held in Calhoun, Georgia, a meeting which Brother Clifford Bailey, a white brother, Sister Mary Bailey's son, attended, he stood up to give this testimony directly from the pulpit, which amounts precisely to this. During my visit to Faith Assembly, Brother Jackson came to me and quietly slipped a book into my hand and said, Give it to your mom and tell her to read it. It is a good book. I felt his action was strange, because it was as if he did not want anyone else to see him give me the book, and so, I felt it was probably because it was the last copy. It is now that I understand why he acted that way with the recent developments at Faith Assembly. Brothers and sisters, Sister Mary Bailey was picked out by Brother Branham in one of his meetings, and you can get this testimony in his sermon titled Look Away to Jesus, where he suddenly called her out by name, saying that she had been told by doctors that medically she could not have any children, but that thou seest the Lord, she would have a son, and it is this only child of hers, Brother Clifford, who gave the testimony I referred to in Calhoun. Saints, I want you all to know that Sister Mary not only followed the Bible-restoring message of Brother Branham, as well as the continuity message of Brother Jackson, but she also followed this continuing ministry move as a living witness of the three moves of God in this Laodicean church age. My wife and I, along with Brother Wilbur and Sister Mary Jordan, were privileged to visit her in her home in Georgia before she was later called home. Let me say this to the Jackson movement. The sad reality, and a very serious spiritual reality at that, is that you have not judged me. In your sheer ignorance and utter arrogance, you have only judged the truth you claim to love. When King Nebuchadnezzar judged the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he thought he was judging them for what he saw as their sheer impudence and defiance, their utter rebellion. But he was only putting the word of God on trial. You in the Jackson movement have failed, and are neglected, to realize that the issue that was handled that day was an issue of truth, and it was an issue that was way beyond the revelatory capacity of the two impostors, James Allen and Bob Thompson, a faith assembly, who usurped apostolic authority as a two-man standard-bearing committee. And when I warned them in my letter to wait till God sets apostolic leadership in place, James Allen stoutly and arrogantly asked me, how long we gonna wait? 5 years. Well, as of this year 2019, we have been waiting for almost 15 solid years, and the Lord is still yet to put the original efficient ministry together. Your so-called fivefold ministry, that fivefold ministry you boasted of having in 2005, has broken into smithereens, proving that you have nothing efficient. So, what gave you the right to intrude into the chief apostolic office of Brother Jackson? Secondly, and most importantly, as a Jackson movement, you failed, and are neglected, to realize that the issue that was handled that day also bordered on the way forward that Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, the man you all claim to follow, firmly and most clearly laid out before the universal bride of Christ, the truth of the apostolic lead ministry which he had equally laid out in many contained messages, a few of which we have brought out in this message. You chose to close your ears to the apostolic leadership that Brother Jackson said must and will come, and that has come, for all you want is a fivefold ministry without apostolic leadership, because the chief apostle declared in crystal clear terms, God will not start with the voice of men. He will start with the voice of one man that will lift up the truth, strong enough, loud enough, that those elect men will know God is in it. And that is what I'm saying this morning. If there is to be unity of faith, unity of revelation, there has got to be the voice of one man who all the other men will get aligned with. O Jackson movement, you say you believe Brother Jackson, and that you believe he was the chief apostle. So I ask you, in all your various camps, where is that man who is supposed to be bearing the rallying voice of biblical unity? Where in all your camps is the lead apostle carrying a crystal clear voice, one that is guaranteeing divine revelatory unity, making the Holy Bible extremely plain for the seeds of God around the globe to understand? Where is your apostolic guide? How come you even know that Brother Jackson was the chief apostle, if you did not listen to my messages about him at Faith Assembly? And where is your man bearing the fresh manner of the word of truth, knowing scripturally that the absence of the application of Proverbs 4 verse 18 is certain spiritual death? You do not believe Brother Jackson. No, you do not. You never truly did. Your blatant, willful, and baseless rejection of apostolic leadership is precisely why you will remain in utter darkness, blown to the four winds, following your carnal minds, and miss the rapture, when you will then have to take the mark of the beast. The Branham movement only want to know and hear about William Branham. And you, the Jackson movement, Lacantlians, All you also want to know and hear is William Branham and Raymond Jackson, and then you believe in an abracadabra, powerful ministry that has no apostolic leadership, no true apostolic leadership, no carrier of fresh manna, willfully overturning the Holy Scriptures. Even the Roman Catholics know better than that, for at least they believe in leadership, even though it is an antichrist leadership, a fact which shows that you are all ending up in the same place together, if you do not repent. And just how are you going to have a true, original, efficient, powerful ministry without apostolic leadership, without pure seed apostles, when the beginning of anything first gives you the head? So, what makes you better than the Roman Catholics whom you condemn for following the Pope of Rome, when you are also running around like headless chickens, peddling a totally strange and unscriptural fivefold ministry, one that does not exist in God's revealed plan of redemption, as laid out in the Holy Scriptures? It is absolutely delusional to talk about having an original, efficient, fivefold ministry without an apostolic lead ministry and without identifiable apostles. It is totally antichrist to teach and preach the strange and nonsensical fivefold ministry Russell Davis is peddling, where we will not know who is who in the fivefold ministry, but they will simply minister to us. That is even against all common sense, for it is downright carnal to project such utter nonsense. That is apart from the scriptural fact that that projection is antichrist, being completely anti-word. And I say that with respect, although I have no apologies for saying it, for truth is in serious conflict. The chief apostle warned us all in his message dated 2003, and titled, Unity, Part 3, a quote I have taken directly from his video message. But remember, brothers and sisters, Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to a grain of corn planted into the ground. Well, he was using, illustrating to the early church, whatever you think it was, whatever it looked like, it means when it's harvested at the end of time, he will harvest another church that looks exactly like it. You don't plant corn and reap rice. You don't plant rice and reap grass seed. These men are leading souls to slaughter, for they are willfully and blatantly derailing people from the revealed plot of the Word of God relating to the true efficient ministry. They are blinding their followers. Just how will we not know an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist, when we knew them in the first church age, the age of original pure seeds, the standard church? We all know that Paul, and even Silvanus and Timothy, were apostles. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 to 6. We know that Agabus, Judas and Silas were prophets, and we also know that Philip was an evangelist. Acts 21 verses 8 to 11. Acts 15, verse 32. For just how can you visit the hospital and not know the difference between the medical doctor, the nurse, and the cleaner? How can you have workers come to your home, not strangers, but workers you are familiar with, and yet not know which of them is the carpenter, or the plumber, or the electrician, or the house cleaner? That is the height of spiritual lunacy. You have to see that these men have been completely stripped and taken over by another spirit, a strong spirit of delusion, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, the very reason they are blinding their people. Now deny that. Brothers and sisters, I have to say to the Jackson movement, you are exactly like the Branham movement, as you also only love to pick and choose what suits you in the continuity message of the chief apostle, and you close your eyes to what you do not want to believe because your minds are made up and it is all out of sheer unbelief. That is why you are absolutely stone deaf and completely sound asleep. Spiritually, and even dynamite cannot wake you up. Otherwise, you will see that in the contender dated May 2007, carrying a message that was preached back in 2004, and titled, The Body of Christ, Part 2, Page 2, Column 5, Brother Jackson clearly stated, Richard Gunn has gone all over the world, and especially Africa, preaching his version. He has published a lot of his sermons, and some of them are good. However, he left everything with a potential, like, we are all servants, we are all preaching the message. The trouble is, he can have a few things right and a few things wrong. And I can have a few things right and a few things wrong. And others can have a few things right and a few things wrong. according to his way of seeing things. That is scriptural ignorance. God has never called any man to preach like that, because that is only a recipe for utter confusion, not unity. Those original 12 apostles in the book of Acts did not behave like that, having a few things right and others wrong. They only spoke on the things they knew they were right in. That is why the Bible was written like it was. Why did Paul have the opportunity to write so many things? It was because God had given him a message that far superseded what Peter and the others had preached. Peter's ministry was to the Jews, and God took Paul aside and gave him a revelation about the Gentiles. He wrote half of the New Testament, the biggest number of epistles in there. Just hear what Brother Jackson now stated, and wake up from among the dead. I say these things to help us see this one thing. And exactly what is that one thing that we are to see? That on the face of this earth, unity will be brought about by a key spokesman. Did you hear that, or are you so stone deaf? The chief apostle said that scriptural unity, unity of divine revelation, will be brought about by lead apostle, a key spokesman, an apostolic guide, which we cannot take anywhere else but to the end time John, whom Jesus Christ gave us in his prophetic revelation, recorded in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Oh my! This is apart from the salient and most pathetic fact at that, which is that in the Jackson movement, you have no guide in your midst, no apostolic guide, when we all know, or should know, that there can be no vacuum in the leadership of God's people. This is a truth Brother Jackson labored so much to present to you all, but you just cannot be treated right, because of the big idol of unbelief in your hearts. Your case is exactly as is written in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 15, where Christ stated, "Therefore, the seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." What a world of gross unbelief! What a movement of unbelievers, a bunch of deceived, sentimental people, who profess and pretend to love the Holy Bible, but in reality, are nothing but haters of the Holy Word of God. You will not even know what truth is, and neither will you be able to recognize truth, even if it stood right in front of you in flesh and blood. That was why in his 2003 message, titled, Unity, Part 3, a quote I am also taking directly from his video message, Brother Jackson said, "This is a day, brothers and sisters, that God is pulling people out of this religious confused mess. And he's going to leave it up to you to recognize what is and what isn't. And if you don't recognize something somewhere you might get off track looking for something. And it was looking at you right in the face. And the Spirit of God is going to quicken certain things to certain people enough. They're going to know beyond a shadow of doubt. That's what I've been looking for." It is very obvious that in the Jackson movement, you do not want the truth. You are not interested in the truth. You are only talking, making a mere profession of love for Jesus Christ, the Word of God, for you are very comfortable in your little camps, in your little cocoons. Saints of God, now please pay close attention. You must realize that the key spokesman, Brother Jackson, gave witness to, that he spoke of, the apostolic guide whom Jesus Christ anointed in position to lead the bride in this last age, following the death of the chief apostle, a man whom we have scripturally proven to be the end-time John, concealed in St. John chapter 21, is precisely the one the spirit of the Antichrist ruling the Jackson movement desperately sought to crucify and overturn using a smokescreen. It is true apostolic leadership that the spirit of the Antichrist desperately tried to nullify. Open your eyes. The Gospel of St. John chapter 21, which we considered earlier, is a very material passage we now need to reconsider in order to show the true state of things, speaking with regards to the Jackson movement, because people just have a very candle and warped way of looking at spiritual things, and someone has to see where this movement truly stumbled. For as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3b, and if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be, and there it shall remain, even after the rapture has taken place. We are on holy ground, and as such, we have absolutely nothing to fear, and absolutely nothing to hide, for truth does not run from any man, and neither does it run from any situation, because as John Huss of Bohemia often stated, truth conquers all. Let me warn the Jackson movement, and please hear me loud and clear. You cannot lump what happened on January the 16th, 2005, with the case involving Rolf Strawman, for in that particular case, it was the chief apostle, and not an ambitious and ruthless man at Faith Assembly, a usurper of apostolic authority, but it was Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, who rightly judged the erroneous projection of Rolf Strawman. This was a Bible issue, and a scriptural matter that could only be resolved by the chief apostle himself. The man in charge of God's word, as Rolf Strawman had peddled the false and non-scriptural so-called Yahoo ministry, and I cannot be tarred with the same brush. Come on! In the first instance, when the issue of the Yahoo ministry raised up its ugly head, I was the one the Lord inspired to write to Rolf Strawman on the issue, not to sit as judge over him, for I did not judge him, and I could not have judged him. I only appealed to him, strictly by the Holy Scriptures, that he may see his error, that he may submit to the truth of the judgment the chief apostle had laid out on the matter, for I stood firmly with the position of the chief apostle. However, it was by this means that a true understanding of the Yahoo matter was also given to the body of saints around the globe, and in a later publication, in a book dated 2006, titled Revelation, Dares, and 99% Truth. I was forced to bring out this very letter as an appendix. At the time the letter was written, I had forwarded a copy of it to the chief apostle, and it was a letter for which I was openly commended by both Brother Jackson and James Allen. I wrote him a scriptural expose of the subject matter, because I believe in giving a true scriptural understanding of issues to the people of God, thereby establishing them firmly in the truth, rather than dealing with frivolities and engaging in personality attacks that have no spiritual edifying value, as James Allen and Bob Thompson are given to do, for that is their stock in trade, which was why I said that they are into the abattoir business, for their ministry butchers, slaughterers. In the day, back in 2003, many of you were mad with Brother Jackson because of his stand against Rolf Strawman, for you set friendship over the scriptural truths of Jesus Christ. In total contrast, and by the sheer grace and enablement of God, in the same day, I stood as a lone voice against Rolf Strawman, in open defense of the chief apostle. Now turning to deal squarely with the projection in my book, titled, He That Is To Come, where I firmly and categorically stated that Brother Jackson will not die before the rapture, that he will be here unto the rapture, is not denied at all. The material fact, however, is that the declaration most certainly does not take away the truth of that book, its main projection, the very essence of why the book was written, and neither does it offend any truth of the Holy Bible, nor does it offend any scripture, particularly as it was not given as thus saith the Lord. In 2005, I challenged the entire Jackson movement to show me strictly by the Holy Scriptures what truth or scripture my projection offended, because nothing is error, unless and until it offends the Holy Scriptures. I am yet to hear from any of you to date, because you cannot scripturally prove the so-called error. And it is for the simple reason that the main focus and thrust of that book, its main theme, was simply to identify who fulfilled the prophetic quote of Brother Branham, wherein his March 1963 sermon, titled, The Seventh Seal, he had declared publicly for the Bride of Jesus Christ, it may be time. It may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene, following his only prophetic ministry. Saints of God, by the grace of God, I was able to rightly identify the man to be the end-time chief apostle Paul, the first ministry fruit of Elijah ministry, the beginning office of the restored apostolic fold of ministry, an office occupied by Raymond Jackson. It was this publication that became the means whereby the whole world was put on notice, of the precise ministry office held by Brother Jackson for 39 solid years, a testimony that Brother Jackson was extremely happy and also very grateful for. However, because of a particular dream that Brother Jackson had shared, I also honestly believe that he will not die before the rapture, a point I emphasize in my book, But He Did Die. The fundamental issue is this. How do we look at the projection of his death, projected in the book, a book which majorly set forth Brother Jackson's chief apostolic ministry position, strictly in the light of the Holy Scriptures? Just how do we look at the issue of his death, which is not a scriptural issue, leaving out the blatant lies, and the sentiments, and the carnal projections of men, who harbor secret motives, secret inordinate ambitions, buried deep down in their hearts, secret reasons for which they desperately needed my ministry dead, and out of their way, by cleverly nullifying and rendering useless the open witness that Brother Jackson had given concerning the apostolic ministry to take over, which was mine. The chief apostle had plainly declared in their very presence, "There's no doubt, you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, as a bride gets ready to leave this world." This serious witness had to be killed at all costs, for it was in their way, and all they had for their evil endeavor, in order to intrude into, and usurp the apostolic office of the chief apostle, was my book, He That Is To Come, or so they thought. My book was only a smokescreen for them. They were not considering the apostolic leadership that God had foreordained for the royal bride, and neither did they care, a divine ordination that just cannot be overturned, however hard they tried, God being sovereign, most especially because it devolved on God's great plan of salvation for the elect bride of Jesus Christ, in this final age of harvest. Now please come with me to the Word of God, for we are on holy ground. As a true bride of Jesus Christ, God's true eagles, the wise virgins, the wisest people on this planet, speaking strictly on a revelatory plane, we must know just how to look at issues devolving on the truth. As St. Paul stated, we should not be led by the nose and be misguided, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4:14. In the Gospel of St. John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and after they had dined by the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus Christ asked only Peter to follow him, but God also moved John to follow them from a close distance, thereby orchestrating a divine scenario, forming the basis for a crucial prophetic declaration that would follow. Verses 20 to 23 now records. Then Peter, turning about, see the disciple, John, whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Saints, just listen to this. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, and it was Apostle Peter who published or spread this saying, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come," referring prophetically in deeply coded language to the reservation and the end-time reuse of the anointing of John. What is that to thee? Saints of God, Apostle Peter took this conviction, his perceived understanding of what Jesus said and meant, which was totally wrong, and when they left that place, he went everywhere, telling the brethren, "Let me tell you, brethren, Brother John will not die. Until the Master returns for the bride, Brother John will be on ground right up to the rapture." Church of the Living God, St. Peter made the very same declaration that I made, where he plainly declared that the disciple should not die, giving us an undeniable Bible precedent. Brothers and sisters, the material fact is this: in the day, the omniscient God knew that what St. Peter was peddling among the body of saints regarding what Jesus said about John was not true, and yet, God did not rebuke him, and neither did he, because of it, divest him of his lead apostolic ministry to the Jews. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit, God himself, did not even say to him, "That is a lie, and you need to recant. You must repeat what you just taught your brethren." which was exactly what James Allen and Bob Thompson, local ministers, demanded of me, because like the Church of Rome, they actually asked me to recant. In their letter dated December the 29th, 2004, which was only forwarded to me by email on January the 11th, 2005, they made this demand, saying, "We feel it necessary to ask you to write a public letter of retraction as soon as possible so this matter can be resolved, since to retract simply means to recant. Yet, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of conviction, the Spirit of truth, did not reprove Peter at all for the projection he spread abroad among the brethren that John would not dare before the rapture, even though it was an untrue projection. Why was he not rebuked, you may ask? It is simply because God does not judge a man for something that he has not yet revealed to him. Saint Peter was not meant to understand what Jesus said and meant, and hence, God does not judge a man for a revelation of truth that God has not yet given to men, however wrong the projection may be, for it is all in the days of ignorance. Apostle Peter was not meant to understand it, and so God winked at his projection to the body of saints, a wrong projection that is even written in the Holy Bible. And yet, the saints carried that understanding that John would not die. And who preached it? It was Peter, the man who held the keys to the kingdom. Now, divest him. That was the very question I put to James Allen and Bob Thompson, for I asked them in my defense book, "What are you going to do to Saint Peter?" For he did exactly what I did, and he also confessed precisely what I confessed, for we are both equally guilty. I asked them this question, because the judgment of God and his standard is one. Did they soft pedal? No, they did not, because in all spiritual reality, it was not about the truth. It was all about their personal selfish, inordinate ambition, an evil obsession they had to usurp the apostolic platform of Brother Jackson. When I even replied James Allen and Bob Thompson, reminding them that they also believed that Brother Jackson would not die, but that he would be here unto the rapture, the very reason they openly rebuked Corinna Glass during church service, they said it was because I wrote mine down in a book. They really want us to believe that something is of faith, only if a man writes it, and not what a man truly believes in his heart, regardless of whether he writes it or not. These hypocrites. James Allen said it was because I wrote in a book that Brother Jackson would not die before the rapture. But James Allen has now also written the same conviction, which he published in the Contender magazine dated February 2017, titled, "Getting Ready for the Rapture, Part 5. Saints of God, the truth always comes out eventually. However much men may hide it with their hypocritical and deceptive ways." James Allen openly and plainly admitted, and please note that all emphasis is mine, "Ever since 2008, the things I preached since then have been criticized, thinking that I had an opportunity to change it, but I did not change. All of my critics think I had something going on in my head and heart before Brother Jackson ever died, and that I was just waiting for the time. No, I was not waiting for the time, like some of them were. I thought Brother Jackson would be here unto the rapture. They were waiting for the time, because it had already been said that when Brother Jackson died, which I never thought he ever would, they had their own ideas and plans. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't put thoughts in my head, because they were never there. I was not thinking about what I was going to do when he died. I did not think he was going to die. I thought we were too close to the rapture for anything like that to happen. Yet, him but Thompson crucified me for the very same thoughts they truly, honestly, and firmly believed, the same thoughts that I had expressed in just one lone book. Just how do you judge a man for what you also believe? Incredible men. Men without conscience. Let me say this loud and clear to everyone. I did not even say, "Thus saith the Lord, Brother Jackson will not die before the rapture." I never said that. And I challenge anyone who disagrees to bring the "Thus saith the Lord" statement out of any of my publications, for I never did. It was only my firm conviction, strongly presented, yes, but my conviction, nonetheless, that Brother Jackson would not die before the rapture, A declaration and a conviction which did not take away from Brother Jackson's fulfillment of the prophetic quote of Brother Branham. It did not take away the focal teaching, the very essence of the book, which was to simply show who fulfilled the prophetic quote of the one to come, who is none other than the chief apostle. If I was wrong in this most essential regard, then the book would have needed to be repealed, but the book was scripture perfect in its projection in this material regard, because the quote rightly applies exclusively to the end time Paul. So, why would I repeal it when Brother Jackson was truly the man who fulfilled the quote? Come on! Moreover, when I added in that book a good number of times that Brother Jackson would not die before the rapture, that had absolutely nothing to do with the quote itself, which was the exclusive basis for the book, because the quote did not relate to that. The quote did not touch on that at all in any way. It was the dream Brother Jackson shared that made me believe he would not die before the rapture, a dream which had absolutely nothing to do with the quote. Nevertheless, the fundamental issue, and a very crucial issue the Jackson movement just do not want to consider, a scriptural issue they most certainly will not consider, because they really have no care for the truth. Consider this, in total contrast to my declaration in my book, that Brother Jackson would not die before the rapture. Peter said, "Thus saith the Lord, John will not die till Jesus comes again." Master Jesus said so. He was not corrected or rebuked by the Holy Spirit for being wrong, the same Holy Spirit who inspired Peter before Pentecost to fill the vacant apostolic office of Judas in the same period of time, in order to complete the numerical representation of the Jewish nation of the 12 tribes in the Jewish apostolic ministry. The Holy Spirit who revealed to him that Ananias and Sapphira were coming, that they would lie to the church, and that as penalty for their deception, they would incur the death penalty, did not tell Peter that what he was spreading among the saints about John was not true. Why not? It is simply because their declaration did not overturn the faith of the saints, and furthermore, it was not yet the time that the Lord would shed light on the truth. Otherwise, we have to ask, what has the lifespan of John got to do with the faith or the salvation of the people? What had whether John lived or died before the rapture got to do with their faith, their salvation? It did not offend any truth that the Lord Jesus had given in that day. Now listen to this. My testimony is written in an ordinary book, but Peter's testimony is written in the Holy Bible, and yet he was not judged by God for it. Think about that. For the justice of God and the standard of God is one. If God has to judge me for those statements, then he also has to judge Peter, which he did not do, for Apostle Peter continued on in his chief apostolic ministry to the Jews, and he later also made the Gentile connection, and all true believers should see this plain fact, and know how to relate to something, for I am squarely in the same shoes as Apostle Peter. Come on! Consequently, brothers and sisters, as children of light, you must see that something very grave and most sinister, dark and demonic, went on in the carnal judgment of January the 16th, 2005, because it was the devil's means of seeking to overturn and overthrow the true apostolic leadership that the Lord had ordained to guide his elect seeds, to move them forward in the light. The spirit of the Antichrist was desperately seeking to derail the Jackson movement, and this he successfully did, thanks to James Allen and Bob Thompson, thus unwittingly making way for the next move of God for the true bride, which is the move of John. Two things that I earnestly warned them before their evil judgment, that if there was a brother Amos in the days when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, who wrote that Moses would carry them to the promised land, when Moses obviously had that potential, and God later took Moses off the scene, out of his own sovereign will, because the Lord could have forgiven Moses, would that brother Amos have needed to repeal or recant his writing? No, he will not have needed to. But how can we expect carnal-minded souls, unrevelated souls, to know how to relate to spiritual things? And just how can we expect men who were totally obsessed with usurping apostolic authority to take heed? The material fact is, if God did not take Moses out of action, just how would the church in the wilderness have a continuing and concluding lead ministry type? Where was Joshua's ministry, the lead ministry of completion and possession, B. In addition, I challenged them that day, and I still do, as I asked them, show me just one verse of scripture that I nullify by my declaration of Brother Jackson being alive to the rapture, because I did not say, thus saith the Lord, James Allen, Bob Thompson, and all the rest of them are yet to answer me to you today. And as I stated earlier, when they realized that with my defense book, they had absolutely no comeback. They then jumped on my character and started throwing mud at me. They totally left the issue of truth, abandoned their initial canon claim, and changed the goalpost completely, all in order to nullify the open testimony Brother Jackson gave concerning me, so that people would not listen to me. That was precisely Satan's objective for anointing James Allen and Bob Thompson to do what they did, using their inordinate, undue ambition. Therefore, the issue changed from being an issue of truth to being one of character. But Thompson declared on that day, you may like a man because he has a good presentation about himself. I want you to see, brother and sister, really what spirit you are dealing with. I'm not calling my brother a devil, but there is a spirit that motivates these types of attitudes. He said this, implying in essence that I am being motivated, inspired, by an evil spirit, which is nothing, because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was said to have been possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And from that time, saints of God, it was. Brother Amos is a deceiver. Brother Amos goes from church to church pulling for money. He cons money from the brethren. He is the biggest con artist. He is out there. He goes around bashing people on the head. He is deifying Brother Jackson. They started peddling blatant lies, untruths, twisting things, deliberately throwing mud at me, running down my character without any prick of conscience. May the Lord have mercy on these men. They even took an innocent mistake I made to brand me a liar, and it is this mistake that the late David Brumley of East Chicago used to crucify me in his emails, which he bombarded me with, calling me all sorts of names, emails which I never replied, because there was no point. In one of my emails to the Philippines in 2005, I had stated, and please note that all emphases have been newly made, only to lift up the material issue. It was only when they judged my book as error, live on the internet, that I knew what it was that Brother Jackson told them about me, because Brother Allen said Brother Jackson told them I had the potentials of an apostle. I later wrote an email to Russell Davis and some of the brethren, in which I related this particular email that I had written to the Philippines. However, brothers and sisters, this statement was not true. It was the buffering I experienced during the internet hookup during the judgment that was responsible for my innocent misunderstanding of what James Allen had said, and I even wrote at that point in time to apologize for it, as it was only an innocent mistake. It was when I later received the videotape and listened to their message that I realized my mistake. It was not Brother Jackson that told James Allen about my apostolic potential. The apostolic potential was actually James Allen's own spin on a great calling, which Brother Jackson had informed Steve Yarhouse was upon my life. In the carnal judgment message, titled Reproof and Rebuke, James Allen said, a brother asked me this morning, he said, what would you do, because Brother Jackson said that there was a great calling upon his life? I began to think, and on my way from church, I have an answer for that. Meaning, I can explain it away. The same answer that Brother Jackson said, when he had to deal with Brother Strumming, he said that he had the potential of an apostle, and that potential was there, in the case of Brother Amos. Brothers and sisters, despite my sincere apology over an innocent mistake, I could never wash up clean, for I just could not win, and the mud just kept coming. Russell Davis said during his sermon in the 2005 convention at Faith Assembly that I am the speechless friend of Matthew 22 verses 11 to 13, that was bound hand and foot, and cast into utter darkness. The men in the Jackson movement are now saying, Amos and Strumman chose their own path. It is very interesting that these men will say that, tarring me with the very same brush as a preacher of the erroneous Jehu ministry, an error I stood publicly against at Faith Assembly, When they all hid in their skins, for they all refused to make an open stand for the chief apostle in the divine judgment. May I now inform these men in the Jackson movement, who say that I have chosen my path, I am only following the revealed Bible way, the only true way, which the Lord God Almighty laid out in His sovereign will, not only for me, but for the entire bride of Jesus Christ, in this Laodicean age, in the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians 4 verses 4 to 5. It is the very same narrow way your chief apostle openly pointed to before your very eyes. In the Spring Convention at Faith Assembly in April 2004, a divine witness which you will to sound asleep and stone deaf to hear, all because of unreasonable ambition, envy and jealousy, and the racial prejudice you harbor in your hearts, has completely blinded your eyes and closed your ears. This is the exclusive apostolic road of the continuing revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, the way which has the firm and ceaseless application of Proverbs 4 verse 18. Fresh manna, the pathway of the spirit of the flying eagle, which only gets ever brighter, the only way that leads to the return of Jesus Christ on the glorious day of our translation to heaven. May I warn all of you in clear terms, for this is not a game. Any so-called way and so-called revelation that is contrary to the apostolic way and the apostolic revelation is accursed, totally accursed. Galatians 1 verses 8 to 9. The bottom line is, if you're not interested to know my defense and to read my defense, it is because you are not really interested in knowing the truth that was wickedly and deliberately judged in January 2005. You simply do not care for the truth. If you do not care what Father Chief Apostle said, it is not me you will listen to. So, believe whatever you want to believe, and let us see just how you will make the rapture, without the apostolic leadership of the Word of God. For it is obvious you cannot see that you have been stripped and completely deluded. The loss of your most unbelieving and pathetic attitudes, which was precisely why he showed Brother Branham a vision of the smooth-baked bread, plainly declaring, and they won't eat the bread of life anymore. Therefore, you must know, for it is most certain that the Jackson movement will not move on. They never will. Church, the pathetic fact is, the religious world will not accept Elijah. The Branham movement will not accept Paul. And now the Jackson movement will likewise not accept John. It is the same evil spirit, the same demon, making people do that. The evil spirit that made the religious world reject the Bible restoring message of Elijah is the same demon that made the Branham movement reject the continuing Bible message of Paul, whom even Elijah spoke about, and the same demon equally made the Jackson movement reject the continuing and concluding Bible message of John. Yet, both Elijah and Paul spoke about John, for they spoke of another man to come, a man sent from God, whose name was John, prophetically speaking. Elijah called him the messenger in the latter rain, and Paul called him the man who will write the last chapter of the book of Acts. However, the Jackson movement said, no, we do not need another lead apostolic ministry. We now have the fivefold ministry, and they threw the application of Revelation 4 verse 7, Proverbs 4 verse 18, John 21 verses 22 to 23, Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, Revelation 11 verse 1, Revelation 1 verse 3, and Matthew 13 verse 52, straight into the dustbin, with rebellious faces, as impudent children and stiff-hearted. They forget, and they do not even care, that it is infallibly and irrevocably written in Matthew 24 verse 28, for wheresoever the carcasses, there, and only there, will the eagles be gathered together. A prophetic scripture which requires the carrier of every fresh manna, in a good established storehouse, a lighthouse. What a generation of truth haters! What a movement of despisers of the fresh manna, loathers of the smooth-baked bread of life! No wonder, speaking in particular about this third and final move of God for the bride, the chief apostle stated, and how absolutely perfect his declaration is, for he said, when God begins to deal with a human being, one man, to show some revelation of things, to convey fresh revelations of the Word of God, he is not going to do it in a way that the old, Jackson, crowd is going to run and jump in his lap. They never have and they never will. He made this declaration, because no movement ever moves on. Only the elect seeds of God, one here and one there, will follow the light of the Word of God and move on. Period. Church, just as Brother Jackson had plainly prophetically declared that night at the convention in April 2004, indeed, a great number of men around the globe have been drawn to my ministry by the book, He That Is To Come. They read the book that was outrightly condemned and judged by Faith Assembly, and by it they had their eyes opened, and they made contact from the United States, to India, to the Philippines, to South Africa, to Uganda, you name it. The chief apostle had rightly stated, I'll say this, Brother Amos, the world might look at you as nothing, but there is a people around this world that's going to see this book, titled, He That Is To Come, and make contact to follow the continuing Bible light of Jesus Christ, which the book shows the writer possesses, purely by the investment of grace. Not because it is about me, being the chief apostle, but I believe for these 30-some years I've stood for something, to give other ministers a chance and an opportunity to see something, that they might too, fill the ranks of responsibility. Church, I have taken this route to let you see undoubtedly that the main course, the root course, and the true course of the extremely sad and most pathetic state of the Jackson movement around the globe today, a movement who have now been blown to smithereens, with each man doing his own thing, with men teaching their own things, for carnal personal reasons, is not the plague of the erroneous third-day teaching, released by James Allen in 2008, for that was only the inevitable outcome of their derailment from the revealed way. The main course, and the root course, of the present Cherubel state, the utterly confused state of the Jackson movement, as we speak today, was the crucifixion of the truth of apostolic leadership that was enacted precisely on the 16th of January 2005, right on the platform of Faith Assembly, by James Allen and Bob Thompson. Bringing us to why in 2008, James Allen took Hosea 6 verse 2, and took the third day, a truth which the chief apostle had broken down in his presence, time and time again, which gives us nothing but the millennium of 1,000 years, and he applied it to this Laodicean age, giving it a present-day application, blatantly overturning the Holy Scriptures. We had to deal with this issue in our book, titled, The Third Day, as well as in our scribe, titled, After 2 Days. That was why James Allen also took Isaiah 41, which relates to polygamy here at this end time, where 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, and he applied it sacrilegiously to the millennium, as the means of the repopulation of the human race in the millennium, under the reign of the righteous, again twisting and overturning the Holy Scriptures, a truth which Brother Jackson had also laid out in his very presence, with absolute clarity. It was for this same reason that James Allen also took the commission recorded in Revelation 10:11, which states, Thou must prophesy again, and which gives us the wrap-up ministry of John for the Bride of Christ, conveyed in a chapter of the Holy Bible that deals exclusively with the Gentile bride, and he gave it to a Jewish rabbi called Jonathan Cahn. He gave this ministry commission to a Jew who lives in America, and who is peddling a strange gospel of the Shemitah around the Gentile world, and James Allen made this Jewish man one of the 2 witnesses to the nation of Israel, either Moses or Elijah, despite the breakdown the chief apostle had given of this entire chapter, showing its end-time application as being only to the Gentiles. We have dealt with this Shemitah man in our scribe, titled, The 4 Blood Moons and the Shemitah Cycle. Yet again, this Antichrist apostle also took a warped, twisted, look at the New Jerusalem, and he now teaches a false doctrine, stoutly declaring, as I said before, in the eternal age there will still be children born, but it will be limited. There will be natural people when you go into the eternal age. We have brought all these anti-word teachings out in many of our publications, and as such, we will not go into details on any of them in this scribe message. Brothers and sisters, it is also for this same reason, amongst many other erroneous and antichrist teachings, that James Allen took the 144,000 Jewish everlasting gospel preachers and put them in the rapture, contrary to the truth of the Holy Bible, brazenly overturning the perfect revelation that the chief apostle bore on this subject. again. It is a truth that was scripturally laid out in His very presence at Faith Assembly in many messages. Saints, it was at the time of producing this scribe message that this erroneous teaching of James Allen concerning the 144,000 Jewish everlasting gospel preachers was brought to our notice, yet adding this false teaching to his long list of untruths, by which he has blatantly and willfully trampled on the Word of God. In his July 2020 message, titled, Hell is Not Eternal, Part 11, Armageddon and the 144,000, James Allen taught this false doctrine. And please note that all emphasis is mine. The 144,000 will be raptured right after their message is over. They are not going to go through to the end of the Great Tribulation when God is going to destroy mankind. No, they are going to be able to go to heaven, and they already spread their message to prepare a people who will go into the millennium. They have done their part. They have kept a people away from the mark of the beast. They have warned the people about the beast. This man is consistently and continuously twisting, overturning, and completely modeling up the scriptural revelations of the chief apostle, one after the other, whatever Brother Jackson's Bible truths may be, proving that indeed, James Allen is a major instrument in the hand of Lucifer, the opposer of truth, anointed to desecrate, totally corrupt, and totally nullify the continuity message which the chief apostle bore. For the universal bride of Jesus Christ, from the pages of the Holy Scriptures. And if you do not like what I have just said, you can climb a wall if you want to, because you should be able to see that the man is only poo-pooing all over the truth of Jesus Christ, inspired and controlled by the spirit of error, which is the spirit of Satan. Open your eyes, brothers and sisters, for these are nothing, but only the manifest and unquestionable evidence of the total derailment of the Jackson movement from the pathway of light. The pathway of the revealed faith of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. It is not for nothing that the Holy Bible earnestly warns in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3b. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be, and there it shall remain, till he meets with the Antichrist, and he is forced to take the mark of the beast, bound for the lake of fire, unless he repents. For that is the sure end of all apostasy. This is the penalty for the blatant and willful unbelief of the Jackson movement to the true revelation of the Holy Scriptures, which is inarguably and inherently a continued revelation. Proverbs 4 verse 18, John 16 verses 12 to 13, Matthew 13 verse 11 to 12, Revelation 4 verse 7, Matthew 24 verse 28. You must know, therefore, saints of God, that when the third day plague was released by James Allen in 2008, that was not the time the movement stumbled on the stone of truth, but it was precisely on January the 16th, 2005. Otherwise, I will simply ask you, what are you going to do with the years 2005 to 2008, which gives us almost 4 solid years, that James Allen and Bob Thompson intruded into, and usurping the apostolic office of Brother Jackson? Why can you not see the total usurpation of that apostolic office? What revelatory good did James Allen do the Jackson movement between 2005 and 2008, when both him and Bob Thompson were benching men in the ministry and taking over most of the preaching during conventions, when they never preached at the conventions during the time of Brother Jackson? Come on! Exactly what understanding of the Holy Scriptures did James Allen and Bob Thompson give to you between 2005 and 2008? And exactly what light of the Word of God did they bear, that you cannot see these intruders and usurpers, these imposters, for what they truly are? Wake up, somebody. The unveiling of the Word is not abracadabra, something hidden and nameless, something indeterminable. For we do not preach truth in the closet, and every truth has a passage of Scripture that holds it. Church, just between 2005 and 2008 alone, my 10 fingers are not enough to count the fresh nuggets upon nuggets of truths of the Holy Bible that we have received from the Spirit of Truth. I will therefore name a few of them. The man that was caught up, the input of Ham, Genesis, the creation of the universe, Genesis, the mark of Cain, Genesis, sin life at the door, Genesis, the mixing of seeds, The three scribes, they came to present themselves. The promise to the overcomer, the walking voice, etc. The list goes on and on. We are not even counting the incredible and enormous measure of fresh carcass we have received to date, and to God be all the glory, for it is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So, once again, I ask the Jackson movement, if you think 2008 was the year the movement stumbled and fell, what are you going to do with the years between 2005 and 2008, which gives us about 4 solid years after the chief apostle passed away to that point? What fresh manna were you given in all of those years, before the third day plague of James Allen was given in 2008? Wake up, brothers and sisters. What the Jackson movement just cannot seem to understand is that it is not in the Dehusa seed that you see its fruit, for the third day Antichrist teaching of 2008 was only the evident fruit of the fact that they had stumbled and fallen upon the stone of offense, the stone of true apostolic leadership, which the chief apostle laid down for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, on the full and unquestionable authority of the Holy Scriptures. If you cannot see it, I cannot help you. James Allen, having usurped apostolic authority in January 2005, brazenly defying the way forward that Brother Jackson had shown him by taking over the international platform and office of the chief apostle, much way bigger than his shoes, eventually had to manufacture revelation to justify his godless and audacious intrusion into that office, by which means the way forward that the chief apostle openly laid out before us was also seemingly nullified. It was what now brought the third day error in 2008, which was the beginning evidence of their fall and decay. Every seed of light should be able to see that. In our book, titled, He That Is To Come, Truth in Conflict, My Defense, page 6, paragraph 2, I warned them in crystal clear terms in 2005, saying, I admit, the local ministry of Faith Assembly have inherited Brother Jackson's platform, but they have not inherited his revelatory anointing, nor his standard-bearing ministry. That I know. They can tear down my book out of sheer ignorance, but they cannot stop my pen, for example my ability to write, by the grace of God. And please note, it was not Brother Jackson, nor Faith Assembly, that gave that to me. God did, as is written in Hosea chapter 8, which carries an immutable and infallible truth. A firm law of reproduction in verse 7, it seriously proclaims, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. It gives us the horrible end of untruth, because untruth leads nowhere but to an extremely sad and definite end, a very bitter end. Only truth has a glorious end. And it is for this reason we are seriously warned in Mark chapter 4, verse 24 to 25, even as it is written, And he, Jesus, said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, how you hear, with what measure, or at a yield, ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. It gives us the law of possession and dispossession, the law of establishment and elimination, the law of increase and decrease, all based on our attitude, because our secret inner motives truly matter in this revealed way, for it is a gateway for the two spirits. It is not for nothing that in Numbers 32, verse 23, it is written, And be sure your sin, your unbelief, will find you out. May God give us pure hearts, hearts filled with a pure and sincere love for truth, without any hidden agenda, without any secret or ulterior motives. We will close our message right here, to continue in the next service by the grace of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. The Lord bless you.